Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
You don't, a line change, right?
You don't get paid extra for it, so I wouldn't blame you if you just wanted to bolt out the
door. I just said at the end of the program, I'm not going to eat as many hot dogs as Joey Chestnut. That's the only plan I have.
You a hot dog guy?
No, I hate hot dogs.
That's un-American.
Are you a brat guy?
I am a brat guy. Give me a good pineapple brat with mustard on it.
Pineapple? Mm.
Beer brat? What do you think, Todd?
Well, I'll do the beer and onions. You got to boil them in beer and onions and then finish them on the grill. I do jalapeno cheddar. I'll do pretty much anything in my pineapple. Pineapple sounds like...
It's actually pretty good.
Sweet taste
I've had it.
Right?
Yeah.
No, that's ruining a good brat. That's like putting ketchup on a hot dog. I don't know what's worse, ketchup on a hot dog or pineapple in a brat.
Is ketchup acceptable on a hot dog? 319-36.
Oh, it's not that. It's not that dead of
you
a.
You boys have a good fourth, okay?
It's not too, that Mark. Slow of a year. You can go talk your co-host off the ledge. He's in there fretting about the White Sox blowing the lead here on Dylan Cease Day on the south side of Chicago, as Cub fans continue to be haunted by that 2017 trade that sent Jose Quintana to Chicago. To Chicago's north side, and Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease to the White Sox. That one's going to sting for a while.
I didn't realize he had the kind of stuff that he does.
Well, let's get in. People don't want to hear us yik yak with Mark Dukes and talk about White Sox baseball right off the top of the show. So really quickly, before we get to Dylan Cease. We do have a good one for everybody today. The countdown to kickoff will continue in about 15 minutes as we head north to Minnesota. Ryan Burns of 24/7 Sports, Gophers Illustrated, will be with us to preview what is going to be a pretty important season for friend of the show, PJ Fleck. Year number three. Gophers need to continue the momentum moving forward. Can they do it? We'll ask Ryan that coming up in just a little bit. Plus, Mark Saxon, who covers the St. Louis Cardinals for The Athletic, will be with us in the 5 o'clock hour. And in the third and final hour tonight, the 6 o'clock showdown, your opportunity to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We'll be back at Mulligan's next Thursday for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Also, we're going to squeeze in Would Ya today. And it's inspired by today's and Tuesday's countdown to kickoff stops in Champaign and Minneapolis. We'll get to all of that and more. So Dylan Cease, this is for people who are unfamiliar with who we're talking about here. Dylan Cease promoted by the White Sox to make his major league debut today. One of the two pieces that the White Sox acquired for Jose Quintana from the Cubs. It looked really good today. And when he was traded, was one of the top pitching prospects in the Cubs organization, but many scouts and talent evaluators looked at him. He's on the smaller side. He's right-handed. Small right-handers oftentimes get pegged as future relievers. And so when Dylan Cease was in the Midwest League, with South Bend when he was still in the Cubs organization, I talked to a couple people that had seen him pitch, and they all pretty much said the same thing. Eighth, ninth inning guy. At worst case scenario, most likely winds up in the bullpen, and you probably have a closer on your hands. Well, things have clicked for him, and he's pitching really well. He's showing he can hold up for the most part, to a starter's workload. And here he is, making his debut and very close to picking up his first major league win as the White Sox play the Detroit Tigers in game one of a doubleheader today at Guaranteed Rate Field on the south side of Chicago. He's impressive.
He is.
We're going to be talking about a subject that involves time machines coming up at the 5 o'clock hour. I don't want to give it away, but... If you gave Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer the ability to go back in time and erase that trade, not make it, I think they would do that in a heartbeat. Jose Quintana, And we've discussed this on the program before. They made that deal in 2017 at a time when the economics of baseball were driving deals just like that one and just like Chris Archer going to the Pittsburgh Pirates. You can get hung up on Dylan Cease and Eloy Jimenez all you want, but that's not even the worst controllable contract trade that we've seen in the last three seasons. Because Chris Archer, when you look at that and what Tampa Bay received from Pittsburgh for Archer, that's a haul.
That looks awful right now. That looks like a disaster.
Is aging even worse than Jose Quintana going to the Cubs. I'm not going to sit here and defend it, because at the time you had people looking at Jose Quintana and thinking, well, he's a three or a four, but some of the analytics people thought inside the numbers there was maybe a two or a three there, and you're getting 3 years of control on him. There was a fourth option, I think, if I recall correctly. I'm probably wrong on that, but the deal was made more so for the control more than the player. And it looks like it could come back to, who am I to say, could come back to bite the Cubs in the rear end. But I'm reminded of this almost every day. I was watching MLB Network last night. I think Jorge Soler has 23 home runs this season for the Kansas City Royals, knocking the ball out of the ballpark. Tommy La Stella, unfortunately, goes on the injured list, or I shouldn't say injured list. He will miss the All-Star game. He's been replaced in the All-Star game. He fouled a ball off his shin last night, so he's got a contusion there. DJ LeMahieu at one point in time was in the Cubs organization. You can look around and find these guys everywhere. And every organization probably has their ones who got away.
Yeah, ask the White Sox about who they traded James Shields. Who they gave the Padres to acquire James Shields?
You know, Fernando Tatis Jr. was in the Midwest League a couple years ago, the same time that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was in Lansing. And I never got to see Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in person. I did get to see Fernando Tatis Jr. He was his dad was actually here in Cedar Rapids. Fernando Tatis Sr., most notably famous for
hitting two grand slams in one inning.
Hitting two grand slams in one inning as a member of the St. Louis Cardinals. I believe still the only player in Major League Baseball to have done that in his career. Fernando Tatis's dad was a pretty good Major League ball player.
Very solid.
His freaking kid is going to be a superstar. Already is, in my opinion, in San Diego. So these are all over. And it's not even in baseball. I'm sure if you went to other sports, you could look at ones who got away, where a guy's a throw-in, or maybe you think you're selling high. And sometimes the problem is a guy actually will reach his ceiling. Now, a critic could look at this and say, pitchers almost always get hurt. Can Dylan Cease continue to fire? He's throwing 100 miles an hour today in the first inning because he's running out there on adrenaline. I saw a picture of Jose Urquidy, who made his Major League debut last night with the Houston Astros, pitched formerly under the name Jose Hernandez. There's a lot of Jose Hernandezes running around. I don't blame him for changing it to Jose Urquidy. But the Astros tweeted out a photo of him standing on the dugout steps at Coors Field, looking out at the field a couple hours before he made his Major League debut. And I'm thinking, I can't imagine what that feeling must have been like. We've asked Scott Schebler about that. We haven't talked with Mitch Keller since he's made his Major League debut, but Dylan Cease is running on adrenaline there in the first inning, pumping him in there at 100 miles an hour, 98 miles an hour. He sits in the upper 90s. I
did not know that. I had not seen him pitch yet.
I totally understand why scouts and baseball people look at short right-handers and they say, bullpen.
Yeah, they don't want him to get hurt.
But every once in a while, you can have a sustainable, successful major league career as a short or smallish right-handed pitcher. There's a great book. It's been reprinted. I highly recommend anybody who's a baseball fan reading it. It's called Dollar Sign on the Muscle. It takes you inside a season with the Philadelphia Phillies, primarily with the Phillies scouting staff in the early 80s. And you'll recognize many of the names from the 80s who are highlighted in that book. Daryl Strawberry gets covered. Ron Darling gets mentioned in there a lot. It's a great look at what scouts look for or what they talk about when they see players. And there's a whole bunch in there on the difference between short right-handers and short left-handers. The short left-handers, nobody knocks a short left-hander.
That is true.
But short right-handers, bullpen.
Well, the problem that I have right now with that is tall right-handers are getting hurt all the time now too.
Everybody's getting hurt.
Yeah. I mean,
the human body,
get as much as you can out of somebody while you can,
is not meant to throw a tiny little ball overhand 100 miles an hour. Look at Jordan Hicks of the Cardinals. And you know me, I've been on Hicks since he was in Peoria. When he was an A-ball, I said, this kid's really good. But you throw 104 miles an hour, the laws of physics and being a human being are going to catch up to you sooner rather than later.
The physics of your arm is not supposed to accelerate that quickly without flying off of your body.
Now, softball, you can go underhand
right,
which is a natural motion.
And pitch
and that's
every
why,
day, which is
exactly,
crazy.
When you look at women's college softball or women's professional softball, and you just trot the same two pitchers out there every other game if you want to, because they don't need the rest. I was not intending to get off on a Dylan Cease tangent to start the program, but the White Sox do make him a winner in his major league debut today as they win game one of that doubleheader with the Tigers. 7-5 did the flying Willenda tightrope walk there at the end of the game, but they wind up getting the win. The Cubs continue to struggle in Pittsburgh and elsewhere, but they are in Pittsburgh right now.
I was going to say, did you see Theo Epstein in his comments today?
He went on 670 WSCR in Chicago and basically put it out there that if they continue to struggle, they will shake things up. And I don't know, we talked a little bit yesterday about what exactly that could entail. Now today, we saw the Cubs make a roster move with a guy we talked with Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000 in Chicago about the last time that he was on. Robel Garcia is coming up from AAA Iowa. They've reached the point now of desperation where they're willing to play a guy who spent the last 4 years in Italy and has been tearing the cover off the ball in Des Moines. He strikes out a ton. I think he's got 67 strikeouts in 40-some games or something. I mean, his strikeout numbers are just absolutely ludicrous. But when he does run into the ball, it goes a really long way. And he happens to be an infielder. And you've got a position right now in second base where you're platooning Daniel Descalso and Addison Russell, and you're not getting any production there. So I think the message here that they're trying to send is, we're willing to bring up a guy who was in Italy a couple years ago, who washed out of the Cleveland Indians system and has never been regarded as a prospect. We're going to give him a look. And if he hits, if he does well, he's going to cost one of you your jobs. And nobody's job is safe at this point. At least it shouldn't be. We hear Kirk Ferentz say this all the time. Every summer, going into the fall, what does Kirk Ferentz say? Nobody's roster spot is safe. Should anybody on that Cubs team feel like they're safe right now, the way that that team is playing?
No, all the goodwill of the young core that was is gone. And well, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, I know that there are people out there that are complaining about Chris Bryant's clutch statistics, and that's fair at this point. But I think you can pretty much assume that their jobs at this point are safe. The other guys, Addison Russell, Kyle Schwarber.
Russell's trash. They should have never brought him back.
Those types of guys know their jobs aren't safe. They have to shake things up to get back on track. And unfortunately, what does that usually mean? That usually means firing your manager. And you're talking about a manager that won them a World Series and is very popular with the fans.
And just opened a new restaurant right across the street from the stadium in a building that's owned by the Ricketts family. But not that they'll take that into consideration. And quite frankly, if it's as mediocre as his restaurant in Tampa was, we went there. I did not know that. Joe Madden has a restaurant in Tampa, and when we were there for the Outback Bowl, Tom Kakert, a bunch of guys that you normally hear on this program talking Hawkeye football, we all piled into a rental van one night and went to Madden's restaurant, and the chicken parm was just so-so.
Okay, I was going to ask what kind of food they have there.
Madden's big on the Italian food.
Okay, I just thought it was going to be that attempt at upscale American food, but mediocre at the same time.
John is bringing up Gleyber Torres on the text line. They won the World Series with Aroldis Chapman.
Cannot complain about that trade.
You really
can't.
You don't. You can't. And you let him go and do his thing, and he's ultimately the possibility where the one that got away again. But
you don't win the World Series if you don't make that trade.
How many people go back in time and trade Gleyber Torres for the World Series? We don't want the World Series in 2016. We want Gleyber Torres in 2018 or 2019. Nobody does that. You shouldn't. And again, this is not necessarily specific just to the Cubs. Again, you look all across the board in different sports. There are trades. Jerry Glanville was tired of Brett Favre's antics and basically sent him packing from Atlanta to Green Bay. And the rest is history.
See, a lot of people will make fun of Jerry Glanville for that, but there are a lot of people that also point out that Brett Favre had many antics. He was sort of partying his way out of Atlanta at the time.
Yeah. Oh, he was. That wasn't necessarily a football-only decision, but there are deals in every sport that do not age well. My mind is blown here, though. I'm looking at the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. The number, by the way, 319-366-1600. Going back to the discussion of how to prepare your bratwurst at the beginning of the program, because we are, if nothing else, on point with tomorrow being the 4th of July and a major grilling holiday. Badger Mike. And when your name is Badger Mike, I'm going to take this advice, but this seems to be a game changer for me. I had talked about boiling my brats in beer and onions before finishing them on the grill, which I don't necessarily think is earth-shattering. A lot of people do that. Badger Mike says, don't forget to add butter.
Butter?
To the beer and onions. I got to say, that's a game changer. I don't know what the butter will do, but butter, beer, onions, I'm going to have to try that out.
And like you said, somebody named Badger Mike has to know what they're doing. Has to know what they're talking about when bratwursts are being discussed.
I spent a considerable amount of time last weekend in the state of Wisconsin and visited a dairy where the cheese and everything is made right there in front of you, and it's fantastic. And I was tempted to come home with about 800 pounds of Usinger's sausage and God knows what type of cheese products. As is, we came home with just a little bit, just enough for personal use until they decriminalize. No, I'm not talking about something else. I'm talking about it's not illegal to bring the cheese across the border in Wisconsin, right? Like it is the beer.
It's illegal to do that.
You can't get Spotted Cow and all of the other New Glarus. And everybody tells me New Glarus is better beer. Like Spotted Cow is really popular, and all the beer snobs are like, it's not even their best beer.
It's their most popular, which means that according to the beer snobs, it's never going to be their best beer.
Everything that's
if it's popular, they don't like it.
I can't imagine being somebody who goes through life hating everything that's popular. I mean, I'm not exactly Mr. Sunshine, but I don't hate things just because they're popular. But people out there are like, oh, like if Someone out there is like using chopsticks because knives and forks are just too, they're too run in the mill. Everybody uses a knife and a fork. I eat my bratwurst with chopsticks. 319-366-1600. We'll bring Kyle into the studio and get you a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber in just a little bit before the countdown to kickoff continues in earnest with Ryan Burns joining us to talk about the Minnesota Golden Gophers. We'll get into Ezekiel Elliott and his meeting with Roger Goodell here in the 4 o'clock hour as well. And coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, I'm going to let you hop in the DeLorean and go back in time to see whatever sporting event you would like to see in person. All that to come and more. 319-366-1600 is the Hertzien and Stocker Jewelers text line. You know you're in trouble when they bring someone in who's been working in Italy for the last 4 years. Like if I walked in here, we're not on the air tomorrow because of the 4th of July, but if I came in on Friday and there was somebody in here who'd been doing sports talk radio in Italy for the last 4 years, I think I'd be looking over my shoulder. So I don't know how comfortable Addison Russell and Daniel Descalso are currently in Pittsburgh, but Robel Garcia said to me, Dylan Cease gets all the headlines. Here I am yammering about Robel Garcia and Badger Mike, you're going to have to let me in on the secrets of the butter and what that adds to the beer and onion concoction. I don't know how it would change the flavor profile that drastically, but I'm open to trying new things. Kyle is with us. He's going to bring you a big board update. Big board updates on the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Alexander Lumber. You can find them at their temporary location in Iowa City, aptly, with tomorrow being the 4th of July, named 2802 Independence Road in Iowa City. You can also check the Answers by Alexander Interior Showroom out on South Gilbert Street in Iowa City. Here's our producer, Kyle Mann.
Megan Gustafson made a lot of history and collected a lot of honors in her time with the Hawkeyes, and today she snuck in one last big one. She was named the Big Ten Female Athlete of the Year. She's the first Hawkeye to collect the award since Christy Gleason in 1994, and it really had to be her after becoming the first Big Ten player to ever be named the consensus National Player of the Year. Team USA dismantled Latvia in the round of 16 at the Under-19 FIBA World Cup in Greece, and Bruce Weber again played all his guys right around 20 minutes, but Tyrese Halliburton remained in the starting lineup and scored 5 points on 2 of 3 shooting, along with 6 assists to 1 turnover, 4 rebounds, and 2 steals. The team will see its first real challenge when it plays Russia on Friday. The Iowa wrestling team had some good news made public yesterday as Gavin Teasdale announced he's transferring into Iowa from rival wrestling megalith Penn State. Teasdale was a 4-time state champion in Pennsylvania and was at one time committed to the Hawkeyes before winding up there at Penn State for his freshman season. He reportedly projects anywhere from 125 to 141. Austin Schulfer went 6 innings last night, yielding 3 hits and no earned runs while striking out 8 and walking 1, and Gabe Snyder and Jacob Pearson had RBIs in a 3-1 Colonel victory over Burlington last night. They'll play one more in Burlington tonight before returning to Cedar Rapids tomorrow for a 5 o'clock start. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Twins and Athletics from Oakland. We'll pick up that one on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, at 7:30. And then we're off the air for the 4th of July tomorrow, but we've got a long day of baseball for you here on KGYM. We'll have the Twins and A's again at 2:30 on the North Gym, the Cubs and Pirates also at 2:30 on the South and Main Gyms, and then around 6:15 we'll have the Braves and Phillies on all three frequencies.
8683 says you caramelize the onions in the butter and then put them on the bratwurst. I'm not talking about putting them on the bratwurst as a condiment. I'm talking about cooking them with the bratwurst. Although, and again, we'll hold out until we hear from the expert on this, Badger Mike, but I'm thinking he meant the butter goes in the pot with the beer and the onions.
I'm looking at a lot of recipes and it calls for the butter going into the pot, and it's there are several notes that say do not omit the butter. It changes the flavor immensely if you forget the butter.
If my wife is listening, I apologize immensely for this. She hates it when I boil the bratwursts in the beer and the onions. She does not like the beer bratwurst. She likes the traditional. So this will be for one of those many, many nights when she's at the stadium working with the Colonels or something and I'm at home by myself. I say by myself. My son is always there, but can't imagine he'd be too big of a bratwurst guy at age 3. 319-366-1600. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, the countdown to kickoff continues as we gear up for Big Ten Football Media Days later this month in Chicago. It's a KGYM summer tradition, taking a look at one Big Ten football team a day. And today, we head north to the land of 10,000 lakes, the Minnesota Golden Gophers in year number 3 under P.J. Fleck. How will the Gophers be this year? Ryan Burns of 24/7 Sports joins us next.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
So you're upgrading a house, planning an incredible master bath, a stunning open concept kitchen, but for the backyard deck, something square? Imagination shouldn't end at the back door. Create something truly inspired with TimberTech. Design versatility and technological superiority to vastly improve your home improvement. Imagine the possibilities at TimberTech.com. Bring your outdoor living space to life with TimberTech from Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
DePaco is the credit union where your membership pays. Unlike typical profit-driven financials, DePaco's cooperative member-owned structure enables us to give money back to you. We do it via thank yous, a special member benefit that thanks you in cash for simply using your credit union services. It's money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and planning for your financial future. DePaco members, whether young or oldish, can earn. Since 2016, DePaco members have shared millions of dollars in thank yous. So go on, save, borrow, invest, and insure with DePaco and earn thank yous for doing so. Find out what you're earning and how you can earn even more. Get the details at DePaco.com/thank yous. Requires credit union membership and thank yous program eligibility. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
Just like the Cyclones, the Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to get the job done. The participating Iowa Kubota dealers are proud sponsors of the Cyclones and invite you to stop by and test drive the full line of Kubota M-Series tractors. The Kubota M-Series are designed to provide farmers with a fuel-efficient, high-performing, and versatile tractor with excellent visibility, spacious, dependable, and up to 168 horsepower. The Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to tackle any job.
To experience the power of Kubota, visit CycloneKubotaDealers.com for a participating dealer near you.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Dave, did you forward me this email from Svetlana?
Yes.
You want me to interview her for a job?
Well, it says she's looking to get down to business.
It also says she likes gentle bear cub man who knows what he likes.
I'm gentle.
Dave, this is a Ukrainian dating site.
Corporate said we should hire more diverse candidates.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Even though it's a holiday week, the city of Cedar Rapids reminds you that there's no delay in garbage recycling or yard waste collection. So set your carts at the curb by 7 a.m. on your regular collection day. Never miss another garbage pickup. Sign up for text and email alerts before every holiday or collection interruption at crnewsnow.com.
Hey everybody, it's Chris Atterbury. Game 2 between the Twins and the A's coming up as we kick off a big holiday stretch of the week. It's a 7:30 pregame lineup card, 8:07 first pitch. Kyle Gibson seeks win number 9 as he opposes right-hander Mike Fiers. It's the Twins and the A's, Game 2. Join us right here on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM, also on 106.3, 107.5 FM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio as the countdown to kickoff continues. Stop number 4 today before we take a brief hiatus for the 4th of July. We head north to take a look at the Minnesota Golden Gophers and P.J. Fleck as they gear up for the 2019 Big Ten season. Ryan Burns joins us from Gopher Illustrated. We've had Ryan on the program before, a member of the 24/7 Sports Network. Ryan, this is kind of a, seems like it's is a big year for P.J. Fleck and the Gophers. They need to continue to show momentum moving forward.
I couldn't agree with you more. You look at the way that year one under P.J. Fleck went, Minnesota doesn't end up getting to a bowl game. And then year two, things were, I'd say, up and down for Minnesota in 2018. They start well in the non-conference, head into Big Ten play. October is not kind to them, but the way that Minnesota finished the season, where they're able to take out a white-hot Purdue team that had been playing extremely well. They're able to head into Madison and beat Wisconsin there for the first time in 23 years and then really lay into Georgia Tech in their bowl game and able to secure a victory there, I think has a lot of folks optimistic about what Minnesota can do heading into this 2019 season. And I think where you look at Minnesota now in year three under PJ Fleck, they have the same offensive coordinator for the third consecutive year. They seemingly had figured out some things defensively that had been a big thorn in the side for PJ. And then the schedule to Minnesota in 2019 is about as kind as they're ever going to get. So if Minnesota is going to continue to try and build on that momentum of which they ended the 2018 season with, 2019 schedule looks to be something that they should be able to build off of.
I remember going into last year, there were so many question marks. Shannon Brooks got hurt before the year, and there was no experience at the running back position. They were going to be starting a freshman quarterback. More on that in just a second. Considering the way that the season ended in a bowl victory and seven wins, how big was that? How big was the ending of last year for PJ Fleck at Minnesota? Because I know the outside noise was starting to creep in a little bit about him.
It was huge. I mean, more even so, I think he really needed that win at Wisconsin because Minnesota hadn't had really a signature type of win in the 2 years that he'd been there or towards the end of his second year there anyway. And he needed to have something to show the kids and, to, I guess, more importantly, show the boosters, show the fan base that this isn't just a lot of talk. We're actually putting results onto the field. And then I think maybe even in the offseason here, being able to retain his offensive coordinator, Kirk Shiraka from West Virginia, was a big deal. After year one, Kirk Shiraka was offered the Auburn offensive coordinator job as well, and he's decided to stay at Minnesota, where Minnesota's offense hasn't exactly been lighting things on fire in this decade. Offense has been a struggle for most. Now, you mentioned some of it because of the quarterback play, but I think that the way Minnesota ended the season, they're trying to really parlay that into this 2019, where the schedule, as I mentioned, is about as kind as you're ever going to see it, because seemingly since the crossover games between the Big Ten West and the Big Ten East started, Minnesota really has been facing the Ohio States and the Michigans and the Michigan States and the Penn States either every year, two out of the three or two out of those four, seemingly most years. And you look at the schedule this year for what I think is going to be a very interesting Big Ten West division. Minnesota's crossover game this year, Maryland, Rutgers, and a Penn State team of which they get at home searching for a new quarterback and some other key pieces on that team. I mean, if you're Minnesota and you're PJ Fleck, you need to turn this schedule into 7-8 wins to continue to show progress, because I think anything less than that would be considered a disappointment.
The countdown to kickoff and the countdown to Big Ten Football Media Days later this month continuing here on KGYM as we take a look at Minnesota with Ryan Burns from 24/7 Sports. Let's get into the quarterback situation, because last year when we chatted with PJ in Chicago, he gave us the standard coach speak about they had guys they liked every guy that they had. He didn't want to commit to a starter. Ultimately, they wound up using two guys last year, Zach Anakstad and Tanner Morgan, sort of split starts. What's the quarterback situation look like going into the season this year?
It's still as ambiguous as it was last year, where Minnesota hasn't named a starter for 2019. I think they're going to do that here into fall camp, because you mentioned it. Zach Anakstad, who was a true freshman walk-on last year, started the first six games for Minnesota, and then he's knocked out of the game at halftime against Nebraska. He's rushed to the emergency room, actually, with a midsection injury, and then Tanner Morgan took over. And I think he played considerably well for the final six, seven games there, to the point where Minnesota thought about making a quarterback change right before the Wisconsin game, but ultimately decided to ride the hot hand that was Tanner Morgan, and they were paid off for that with that Wisconsin win. And so whichever the quarterback may be, Zach Anakstad or Tanner Morgan, I think my money right now would be on Zach Anakstad, because you look at how this Minnesota offense sets up for this 2019 season, and the quarterback isn't really going to be asked to do a whole heck of a lot. You look at the running back position for Minnesota, they have 5,000 all-purpose yards coming back between Rodney Smith, who's going to be coming off an ACL tear, Shannon Brooks, who's going to be coming off an ACL tear, and then Mo Ibrahim, who was a freshman running back for Minnesota last year, ended up going for 1,100 rushing yards, and he wasn't even expected to be counted upon. Now you have all three of those guys returning. You have Tyler Johnson at the wide receiver position, who broke two single-season all-time receiving records for Minnesota last year. Rashad Bateman broke two single-season freshman receiving records last year. And you have an offensive line that's returning three of five starters. If the quarterback can just really be a game manager, he's not going to be asked to do a lot, and this Minnesota offense should be pretty good. But it is going to come down to that quarterback position, to me, that's going to dictate whether Minnesota wins six or seven games or could potentially win eight or more, because Minnesota has the offensive weapons to do a lot. In my opinion, they have the best offensive skill set weapons that they've had here in this decade, and it's going to be on that quarterback's arm to, and more importantly, his decision-making, to see how well this Minnesota offense can perform here come this fall.
Let's just say, for the sake of argument, like you said, Zach Anikstad is named the starting quarterback. He's the starting quarterback going into game one. Is it going to be interesting to see how he does? Because you mentioned Tanner Morgan is sitting there right behind him. He went 4-2 as a starter last year and led this team to a bowl victory.
It is going to be interesting. Now, Zach is a very, very confident individual, as you know, seemingly most quarterbacks like to be. And I think what Zach provides that's a little bit different than Tanner is he has a better arm and it just has a more aggressive mindset down the field, where Tanner kind of really just likes to take what's given to him. He's not going to push the ball vertically a whole heck of a lot. Where Zach really wants to make this offense go, and he's got the arm strength and, in my opinion, the mindset to do so. But you mentioned it. He knows that Tanner is sitting there. He knows that Tanner also had a pretty successful record there. Now, I do think that the offense was a little bit different for Tanner than it was with Zach. Minnesota didn't have their Australian monstrosity at right tackle and Daniel Fa'alele. He was redshirting still at the time. Then Minnesota was having a significant amount of issues. I think Mr. Anthony Nelson from Iowa there was a big culprit for that, where he nearly had four first-half sacks against the Gophers. Minnesota's forced to put in Daniel Fa'alele at 6'9", 375 pounds. And Daniel kind of took his lumps there for a little bit and played a lot better towards the later half of the year. You also had some skill position guys figure things out while Tanner was there that they didn't with Zach. But you mentioned it. It is going to be interesting because Minnesota knows that they have two quarterbacks that are capable. So say Zach has a bad game or a bad half, you have to think that, especially since these two are very young quarterbacks, just going to be sophomores here, that they both know, hey, I have to perform well or else I might be getting the hook here pretty quick.
Is there one player on the offensive side of the ball that if the Gophers were to lose, things would definitely go south for them this year?
Well, that's a great question. I think I would probably go with Tyler Johnson. Tyler is their wide receiver. He's the one that is garnering all this attention for being an All-American this year. I know from talking with some NFL scouts that they think he could be a top 60 overall draft pick. He's just a very dynamic player for Minnesota that can play on the outside for wide receiver, and then he can also play in the slot. He showed both of those things for Minnesota last year. Now, the wide receiver position does have a lot more talent than it did a couple of years ago, but if you lose what I think is arguably your best playmaker on the offensive side of the ball, while you do have a lot more options there, still losing your best player and forcing Rashad Bateman, who is going to be a true sophomore this fall, to kind of step up. I'm not entirely sure that he's ready for that. And Minnesota has some other young wide receivers that are good playmakers, but they're not nearly as dynamic as Tyler is. So I think if Tyler can just have the season, he doesn't even need to necessarily put up the stats he did last year, and I don't think he will, because Minnesota has more bodies that are capable of creating space, creating separation, and getting the ball. But if Tyler were to go down, I think Minnesota would definitely have to change some things for this Gopher offense.
On the defensive side of the football, Rob Smith was fired after the Gophers allowed 55 points in a loss at Illinois. And after that, the final four games of the season, they didn't allow more than 24 points in any of those games. Was this sort of just a shot in the arm and a wake-up call for the defense, or did Joe Rossi, the new defensive coordinator, instill some confidence in that unit down the stretch?
I really think he did instill some confidence. Now, he made some schematic changes for that Gopher defense, where you mentioned Rob Smith gives up 55 points to what I think is not a very good Illini offense, including two of the first three offensive plays for that Fighting Illini team for 75 plus touchdowns. I mean, Minnesota really just couldn't figure things out. And then Joe Rossi is really thrown into the fire, has 5 days, 4 or 5 days to really work with this defense before, as I mentioned, a Purdue team comes to town. And I believe the statistic at the time was that Purdue team had scored 35 plus points in 6 of their last 7 games. And they come into TCF Bank Stadium, same defense, same players. They didn't get anybody back. And through 3 quarters, Minnesota had limited Purdue to 3 points and I believe 120 total yards. And so what Joe Rossi really did was just kind of took some of the load off the linebackers who really weren't comprehending what Rob Smith was trying to tell them, put a lot more on the secondary. And I think maybe most impressively for Joe Rossi, when you look at those final 4 games and you look at the 3 wins, you have a Purdue team that's more of that spread style of offense. You have Wisconsin, 2-3 tight end sets, a lot of power running game. And then you have Georgia Tech, which is a triple option team. And you face 3 totally different offenses, and you're able to really nullify them for most of the game. And I think that's what gives Gopher fans hope, is they don't think this is just some flash in the pan, because he did it against 3 totally different offenses, really nullified them for most of those games. And that's why in 2019 here, I think Gopher fans are a little bit excited about what this Gopher defense could look like.
Give us a little bit of a preview on the defensive side of the ball. Who are some of the key players to keep an eye on this year?
Yeah, I think 3 that stand out to me are, most importantly for Minnesota, is their edge rusher, Carter Coughlin, someone that was a very highly touted recruit, someone that was a top 100 overall recruit when he came out of high school here in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. He led the Big Ten last year in pressures. He had double-digit tackles for loss, double-digit sacks. And you know, you kind of look at how Carter and maybe Iowa's own defensive havoc maker there in A.J. Appenza, how they compare. Well, Carter's about 6'4", maybe 225 pounds, where A.J.'s obviously a lot bigger than that. Where Carter wins is he as quick off the ball as you're going to see from a Big Ten defensive lineman. The way he's able to bend the corner around offensive tackles, I know has given opposing offensive coordinators fits, and how they've been able to try and nullify Carter. They've been keeping a lot of tight ends in, trying to see if they can't chip and really nullify Minnesota's pass rush. But pass rush is going to be a huge thing for this Gopher team. They need to find something resembling a pass rush this year from someone not named Carter Coughlin. But they also need Carter to continue to really get up the field and create havoc around that quarterback. At the linebacker position, I think you're looking at a guy like Thomas Barber, who has played all 3 years. Now he's going into his true senior year. He started the last 25, 28 games at Mike linebacker for Minnesota, and he's got over 200 total tackles. I think he is the undisputed leader of this defense. He's not the loudest guy or the biggest guy in the room. He's probably about 5'11", 225 pounds. But he's the thumper of this defense. He can fly sideline to sideline, and they really need him. And maybe the most vital cog of this Gopher defense is a young man by the name of Antoine Winfield Jr. Now, you may be familiar with Antoine Winfield, the senior. For my money, arguably the best tackling nickel corner in the NFL that I've seen. But Antoine Winfield Jr. is the one that has been making play after play after play for Minnesota when he's been healthy, and that's the big disclaimer. Because the last 2 years when Minnesota has played Maryland, he's gone down with a freak season-ending injury. It hasn't been ACLs. It's been Liz Frank injuries or just weird breaks around his foot. And so luckily for Gopher fans, Minnesota doesn't play Maryland until late October, so you're going to get him for more than 5 games. But if Antoine can stay on the field for 10, 11, 12, 13 games, I think this Gopher secondary is going to benefit immensely for that.
Is this the year that P.J. Fleck and the Gophers can reclaim Floyd of Rosedale?
Ain't that the big question? I think I probably get that a couple times a week now, as the season is really only a month away now. Big Ten media days are just a couple weeks away. I think it's going to be a lot more interesting, just because Minnesota showed last year in Madison that they can stand up to the tough, you know, defensive fronts of what Wisconsin was trying to provide them. Wisconsin was at home, and Minnesota really beat them the way that Wisconsin has won for so many years in a row now, just ground and pound. Well, Minnesota in that game had a 19-20 play drive where all they did was run the same three plays. They were all running plays, and there were a couple of slants into the slot. I mean, if you're able to just go into Madison and you're able to kind of move mass up front with Minnesota's offensive line, and they were able to shut down Jonathan Taylor more or less and just hold him in check, I think that gives you, or if I was a Gopher fan, I think that gives you hope that they can try to do that same thing here when Minnesota plays Iowa. I think it's going to be interesting, and you guys know will know a lot better than I do. No more T.J. Hockenson, no more Noah Fant. How does Iowa move the ball through the air is going to be my question. I know Nate Stanley, I saw him in high school. He was a Menominee native, as you know, just an hour and a half, 2 hours from the Twin Cities here. How is this Iowa offense able to move the ball through the air without two first-round draft picks is going to be very interesting for me to watch, because if I was a betting man, I bet you Minnesota's going to throw 7, 8, 9 guys in the box and say, Nate Stanley, how are you going to beat us through the air?
It'll be here before you know it. We appreciate you stopping by and chatting with us today, Ryan, and we look forward to seeing Iowa and Minnesota on the field this year. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for the time.
Ryan Burns, who covers the Gophers for 24/7 Sports, Gopher Illustrated, P.J. Fleck and the Gophers, 7-6 a year ago. And we've talked about the angst in how the media covers that team in the Twin Cities, and there's still a healthy dose of skepticism surrounding P.J. Fleck as to whether or not he's more Tim Brewster, or is he actually more Glenn Mason, a coach who can deliver results. I still think a lot of people up there feel he's more Tim Brewster at this point.
Yeah, I think that at least the way that they finished last year put that on pause a little bit, because I know that he has a lot of detractors, but it's sort of difficult to detract from the fact that he was starting two freshman quarterbacks last year, lost his top two running backs, had his roster decimated by injuries, and then the final four games of the year, they win three of them over Purdue, Wisconsin, and then they win their bowl game against Georgia Tech. That is progress. No matter how you want to slice it, that is progress. But I agree with Ryan in the sense that that progress will completely go away, and that narrative will be 100% back if they go 6-6 this year. If you look at this schedule and they go 6-6 against a Big Ten schedule where Iowa and Penn State are your toughest games, those narratives will be back, and they'll be back in a hurry. So it's a huge year for P.J. Fleck, despite what happened at the end of last year and the progress that they clearly made.
That is today's stop on the countdown to kickoff. Bad news is no preview coming tomorrow because we have no local programming on the way tomorrow. We will be off for the 4th of July. The countdown to kickoff resumes on Friday as we take a look at another bitter rival for the Hawkeyes, the Wisconsin Badgers. 319-366-1600. That's the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Stick with us. Coming up later on in the program, the 6 o'clock showdown, your chance to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. 7 questions in 60 seconds. Your chance to win on the way before 7 o'clock tonight. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Back with more after this.
Star Equipment now sells, rents, and repairs heavy-duty forestry equipment. Now carrying durable mulching heads, disc mulchers, and other skid steer attachments by Fecon, Diamond, and Bradco. That means your next tough job just became a whole lot easier. Rent or buy your forestry equipment now at Star Equipment. And while you're there, ask about current government grants for mulching equipment. Star Equipment, Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
Hi, I'm a local dollar, and I just want you to know that if you buy local, that local businesses can grow. Put me in the pocket of your local grocery store, or take me to the farmer's market for flowers, soaps, and more. Spend me at the diner, or get ice cream at the pool. Put me down for coffee, or donate me to your school.
KGYM is a local radio station. We are local.
We support local.
Yay!
A local dollar goes a long, long way, but it's never far from home.
What does building a better bank look like? It starts with building Capital One cafes, warm, inviting places that feel nothing like a typical bank. where you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes. And you'll always find people ready to help you, not sell you. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One and a member FDIC. Cafes available in select locations. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
This summer, take the road trip to complete your baseball stadium bucket list.
And when you do, stay at La Quinta by Wyndham Hotel,
where you can now earn and redeem Wyndham Rewards points at La Quinta and thousands of other Wyndham Rewards properties worldwide.
Plus, free Brightside breakfast and the free high-speed Wi-Fi so you can stay in the work zone while you're away.
Well, with perks like these, you're going gone.
Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you triumph.
Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the sound of a blizzard from the amazing DQ Summer Blizzard Menu with 7 flavors, like new Sour Patch Kids, which sounds like the first home run of summer. Yahoo! Your first cannonball. Yahoo! Or your first road trip to the Grand Canyon. Yahoo! That's what the DQ Summer Blizzard Menu really sounds like, with exciting flavors like new Sour Patch Kids and favorites like brownie dough. DQ, happy tastes good. Yahoo! At participating locations.
New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline is engineered with 4 levels of defense against gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. It's sort of like having ninjas protect your engine. That helps keep your engine running like new. New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. It's fuel for thought in engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline.
Baseball 4th of July doubleheader. First the Pirates face the Cubs, then the Braves face the Phillies.
Thursday afternoon starting at 2:30 here on the gym. KGYL.
And if you're a baseball fan, we'll have plenty of Cardinals discussion coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as Mark Saxon of The Athletic joins us shortly before 5:30. Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on this July 3rd. We will be temporarily off your airwaves tomorrow for the 4th of July, but make sure you join us again on Friday for more great local programming, which will be kicked off with the gym class. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes returning from their holiday at 3 o'clock. The gym class brought to you daily by Third Base Brewery here in Cedar Rapids. Lots more to come on the program tonight, including the 6 o'clock showdown, Would Ya, and couple fun topics we'll get to coming up in the next hour. The NFL has finished its comprehensive investigation into Dallas Cowboy running back Ezekiel Elliott's run-in with, was it a security guard?
It was.
In Las Vegas in May?
Security guard at a concert in Las Vegas.
It does not sound like he's going to be facing a suspension heading into the upcoming season, and Elliott himself has put out a statement or spoken on the issue where he seems to say all the right things. You're not buying.
No, he can say all the right things, but he at some point needs to do all the right things. Like he has proven to be a petulant child in his time in the NFL, and it's sort of being shown now that he is a guy who likes to use his status to prove that he can get away with anything. And the Dallas Cowboys, much the same way that they did with Dez Bryant, are babying him and holding his hand through all of this and enabling him. And I have a buddy who works for the ESPN affiliate in Dallas, and if you say one bad thing about him, the fans jump down your throat. So you have this weird dynamic where he thinks that he can get away with anything, because quite honestly, at the end of the day, it's been proven that he can, despite the 6-game suspension that he received a couple of years ago, where the organization and the fans pinned him as the victim, and the NFL was doing him wrong somehow. It's pretty sick that a guy can get away with a lot of things just because he's good at football. It's another example of that.
Is that KESN 1033?
Sure
in
is.
Dallas. I also know somebody who works at that radio station.
Who's
Small
that?
World. Mike Peasley. It's from my hometown of DeWitt, Iowa.
I'll have to ask my friend DJ Ringenberg if he knows Mike.
He hosts the pre- and post-game show for the Dallas Mavericks and the Texas Rangers. We talked with him a couple years ago when the Cubs acquired Cole Hamels.
I think my friend DJ fills in for him when he's gone.
Worlds are colliding.
The more you know. He's a University of Iowa graduate.
Small, small world. 319-366-1600. As we embark on the 5 o'clock hour, make sure you stick with us because this is going to be one of those hours which involves listener participation. Otherwise, it's just me and Alex talking back and forth with one another, and that's boring. Who the hell would want to listen to that, right? Lots more to get to. Poll question, by the way, today, KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on 1st Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Where will Kawhi Leonard wind up? The Lakers, the Clippers, or the Raptors? Your three choices and the three most likely choices at this point. Kind of indications pointing toward the Lakers, but we'll see. They're hounding him in Toronto. They're not giving him his personal space.
Not surprising.
No kidding. He's like a national hero up there. Hour number two on the way next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Kevin Winter. For the second time in 3 days, the sports world has lost an athlete far too soon. Monday, the death of Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs at the age of 27. Today, the football world saddened with the passing of former Kentucky and NFL quarterback Jared Lorenzen at the age of 38 years old. Known as the hefty lefty, Lorenzen had battled cardiac and renal issues and an infection recently and had been in the hospital since last week. He was virtually a cultural phenomenon when he was the quarterback of the Wildcats back in the year 2000 because he was overweight, over 300 pounds. He had a cannon for an arm, and yet, as ESPN's Matt Jones and Kentucky Sports Radio notes, maybe one of the most popular UK athletes ever.
I think Jared Lorenzen is probably the most popular UK football player ever in Kentucky. I really believe that. I mean, they've had Tim Couch, Randall Cobb this past year with Benny Snell, etc. I think Jared Lorenzen was the most popular because he was from the state. He felt like just the kind of guy, like he was one of the guys.
Jared Lorenzen dead at the age of 38 years old. Netherlands 1-0 over Sweden in extra time today. They get the U.S. in the Sunday World Cup final.
Coming up Thursday, it's the 4th of July. And sure, we're talking NBA free agency. Plus, will we see the same Warriors next year? But most importantly, let's eat some dogs, baby. I mean hot dogs, not actual dogs. Golic and Wingo Thursday, 4th of July, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. No actual dogs were hurt in the making of this promo.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by The Grillworks in Marion, your grilling and smoking headquarters, making you the grill master you deserve to be. Here's your grilling tip of the week.
Have you heard about gunpowder seasoning? It definitely takes your burgers and steaks to the next level. It looks pretty weird, but it's also great on popcorn, chicken, scrambled eggs, veggies, and even in your hand to take care of that salty craving. I'm Lisa with The Grillworks. Come find gunpowder seasoning along with 300 sauces and rubs at our place. We have samples of everything, so you can be sure you're choosing the perfect flavor to enhance your food. Come try gunpowder at The Grillworks, 763 8th Avenue in Marion, your grilling and smoking headquarters.
This is a message from the Emergency Stuffed Crust Warning System.
Cheese!
Little Caesar's Extra Most Bestest Pizza now has 3 feet of cheese stuffed in the crust for just $9. I repeat, it has 3 feet of cheese stuffed in the crust.
Cheese!
That concludes the message from the Emergency Stuffed Crust Warning System. Get a large Little Caesar's Extra Most Bestest Pepperoni Stuffed Crust Pizza for $9. Top four national pizza chains, Extra Most Bestest Pizza versus large round one-topping pepperoni pizza, everyday standard menu prices, 3 feet of cheese before cooking, at participating locations plus tax.
Pizza, pizza!
The year was 1919. Barbasol shaving cream was invented by a dreamer named Frank Shields. The world's first modern shave cream, Barbasol changed the face of shaving forever. A few billion shaves later, Frank's dream lives on. Behind every face is a dream. Barbasol proudly salutes every fearless, self-assured, wide-eyed dreamer all across America. Celebrating 100 years, Barbasol.
Golden Wingo on the road.
Live at the House of Blues Cleveland for the 2019 MLB All-Star Game.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance and Sherwin-Williams.
Monday, July 8th
on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Play ball.
503, welcome back. It is the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. That would be KGYM, also heard on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and online at KGYMradio.com, where you can either stream the station live or dial up the podcast after the fact. Both the gym class and this show's podcast housed there. Plenty more to get to here in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk St. Louis Cardinals baseball with Mark Saxon, senior writer for TheAthletic.com, who covers the Cardinals. We'll get to a countdown to kickoff-inspired Woodja here in the 5 o'clock hour as well. And if you like winning things, then the 6 o'clock hour is just up your alley, because the 6 o'clock showdown tonight brings with it an opportunity for one lucky listener to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. Big plans for tomorrow? It's always nice when you don't have to work and don't have to go to a funeral to not have to work.
I do not have any plans. That they were kind of foiled because we have to work on Friday. We'll be here on Friday to do a show. So I will,
foiled.
I will be saving all of those for the weekend when I return to hang out with the family for a belated 4th of July celebration.
It's like you just described a Scooby-Doo plot there. Let's peel the mask off. See who's behind the having to work goblin.
Brad Brock.
Yeah, the Scooby-Doo joke. I was wondering where you were going. I thought maybe you were letting me know that they finally parted ways with him.
That's my favorite dad joke that I know.
Can people who aren't dads tell dad jokes? 366-1600. You can let us know on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line.
No.
No? But you can laugh at them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I enjoy hearing them. I don't tell them because I don't have any, because I'm not a dad.
Everybody's got dad jokes. 319-366-1600. I'm excited about the grilling tips that we got in the 4 o'clock hour. Although, as I've noted on Twitter, and if you're on Twitter, you can give us a follow at Todd Bromwellkamp, at Alex Kuhn 523, and most importantly, at KGYM Radio. We talked about grilling things, and we didn't hear from BJ and Marion. I'm very concerned about his welfare at this point, because normally we say anything about grilling, we hear from BJ. So hopefully he's in town and with us. Or maybe he's out of town and not listening to us. I don't know. I'm at that age. I don't hear from people. I get very concerned about them at this point. It's why we're holding my mother hostage at our house right now. My son is under the weather, and so my mom has been there keeping tabs on him. And it's going about as well as you can imagine having that situation under your roof go at this point. But hopefully he's feeling better tomorrow. We got to go get some candy. We got to find a parade to go get some candy at. Otherwise, I'll just have to go to the store and buy him some. Lots more to get to, as we mentioned, Woodja on tap. But I thought this would be an interesting topic to bring the listeners in on. The movie Back to the Future was released on this date, July 3rd, 1985. So, what, about 33 years ago? Is that right? 33, 34 years ago? Don't ask me to do math. I should have done the math ahead of time.
34.
I get too arrogant about stuff like this. I'm just like, oh, I can always do that in my head. And then it comes time to do the math in my head, and I fail miserably. So, 30 plus years ago, you can always go generic with it. The movie Back to the Future came out. I think most people are probably very familiar with the Michael J. Fox, Christopher Lloyd movie, in which he tries to outrun some Libyan terrorists in a mall parking lot and goes back in time to his parents' era, and he interacts with them in high school, and then how does he get back to the future?
Spoiler alert.
And, well, I could go into Back to the Future 2 and then Back to the Future 3, but I won't do that at this point. If you could go back in time to witness any sporting event, what would it be? I'm not talking about, you know, you take into account the butterfly effect here and you go back in time and you do something as simple as squashing a bug or something and then it alters the space-time continuum. I'm not interested in any of that. I'm not interested in going back and keeping Dylan Cease and Eloy Jimenez in Cubs uniforms and preventing that trade from going down. You get to go back in time and see any sporting event as a spectator. What would it be? 319-366-1600. You can give us a call, or you can use the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. And as most listeners here in Eastern Iowa know, we will not accept the 1985 Iowa-Michigan football game as an answer because everybody was at that game that day. I think the official attendance at this point in history was about 3.3 million people. Everybody was there when Rob Houtland kicked that game-winning field goal. 319-366-1600. Any sporting event in history, you can go back, hop in the DeLorean, and check it out. What are you going to check out?
1302 says the Miracle on Ice. Watch it on TV. Would love to see it in person. That would be near the top of my list as well.
It wasn't even the gold medal game. People forget about that.
That's true.
They beat Finland in the gold medal game, but it was still a huge moment in history.
We have a couple of those on the tech. That's one right at the top of my list.
We're being overrun with dad jokes right now on the text line, which is shame on you, Alex. Look what you've done here.
I've brought in an infiltration of dad jokes onto the program.
You've derailed the program.
I foiled the program. I'm sorry.
We're foiling everything. That's an underused term. Foiled. I'd like to bring that back, or at least bring it to more prominence.
Can't we just use this as an opportunity to bring dad jokes to a segment every single week? Your dad joke of the day, brought to you by sponsors. You're listening out there. I think this is a novel concept. This is fantastic.
Alex is the official purveyor of dad jokes on KGYM Radio. And he's the only on-air person here who doesn't have kids among the four
I just like hearing
primary
them.
Hosts.
I just enjoy dad jokes. I don't tell them. I hear them.
Okay. Back on track here. 9359 says, The Catch featuring Joe Montana and Dwight Clark. I'm assuming that would be from a San Francisco 49ers fan.
5166 says The Catch versus LSU. So we have two different... We have the Iowa... Ann in Solon wants to see Niall Kinnick play a football game. Any football game.
Any football
game. Any football game.
Okay. Where are they on the making of the movie, by the way? They're turning that Niall Kinnick book into a movie. I haven't seen much more movement on that. We usually hear about stuff like that. This is kind of an interesting one. On the text line from 8870, 1916, the Cumberland, Georgia Tech college football game. Do you know the spot occupied in history, in the history books, in that particular game, Georgia Tech and Cumberland in 1916?
Was this the largest blowout in the history of college football?
Georgia Tech won that game 222-0.
That would be a good one, an interesting one to go to.
That's basically
unprecedented.
That's four times Iowa against Illinois last year. That was 63-0. We recapped that, or were reminded of that yesterday during the countdown to kickoff. 63-0. It's not 222-0.
I would want to go back and see Hank Aaron breaking Babe Ruth's all-time home run record. Because that's a moment that you see so many times. And people are bringing up Jesse Owens. People are bringing up Jackie Robinson and when he broke the color barrier on April 15th, 1947. But you look at Hank Aaron and the era that he was playing in and the significance of the record that he was breaking. I would absolutely be fascinated to be in that ballpark, to witness that moment, and to see the fans running on the field to congratulate him as he's rounding third base.
Iowa's own Milo Hamilton on the call of that very historic home run. Although I think Vin Scully was also doing the game that day, and his call of Hank Aaron's home run has sort of been overlooked or overshadowed by Milo's call in history. 319-366-1600. Here's a vote from 6634 for the, I believe this was 2003, the Rose Bowl between Texas and USC.
One of the greatest college football games of all time.
I remember watching that one on TV. They vacated that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
that was...
The game still took place. You can never take that memory away from those fans.
Yeah, that was the year where Reggie Bush won the Heisman, and they vacated the Heisman, and every win that year that USC had. By the way, I don't know if you've noticed this. You mentioned the UConn show cause. Their national championship from the year that Kevin Ollie was their coach has gone to. So we're minus another national champion.
We touched on that yesterday on the program, that Kevin Ollie has been hit with a three-year show cause penalty, so you won't see him coaching in the NCAA ranks for at least three seasons, and then somebody will inevitably give him another job. It's the way that it works.
47-17 with an interesting one. And a road that I really didn't even think about going down. I would love to see, 47-17 says the Thrilla in Manila. I like where your head's at there.
One of the more legendary boxing matches of all time.
I want to see boxing in all of its glory when it was uber popular and when the heavyweight division was at the all-time high of where it was during the 70s and the 80s.
October 1st, 1975. Muhammad Ali and Smokin' Joe Frazier, not to be confused with Smokin' Dave Koken, who will be taking a two-week holiday from the gym class. He's off tomorrow for the 4th of July, and then I believe he is at Del Mar next Thursday, so you will not be hearing him on the KGYM airwaves anytime soon. 319-366-1600. The one that I always, when I think of subjects like this, I always try to go beyond my lifetime. This one's just outside the window, but, and many of our listeners will recall watching this game, I'm sure, on television back in the day, but that national title game between Indiana State and Michigan State in, what was it, 1979? Larry Bird, Magic Johnson? That's kind of the game that set March Madness into motion and blew it up into a big national thing. I wouldn't mind saying that I was able to see that in person. Of course, you couldn't tell anybody about it because I wasn't born yet. That would raise some questions as to why this stranger who hadn't been born yet was... You can't tell anybody about this. You're just there and you're standing in a corner, maybe hiding behind a column or something, and you're watching all of this go down. 319-366-1600. Let's fire up the DeLorean and go back in time to any particular sporting event that you would like to see in person. The other one that always comes to mind for me is the 1919 World Series. Knowing what we know now, I'd like to go back in time and watch that series unfold and see whether or not you can tell guys from the White Sox were throwing the game. Games, plural.
Or were they?
Or were they? Don't do it, Joe. Now, see, then you're altering history. If you can't intercede, you can't alter history. You're just going back to watch it take place.
It's sort of in the same vein as somebody brought up Babe Ruth calling his shot. That was at Wrigley Field, correct?
I believe that was the 1932 World Series off of Charlie Root.
He called his shot.
Or did he? 23-13, the 2001 Daytona 500. I believe that was Dale Earnhardt's victory. 63-79, Secretariat winning the Triple Crown. You don't get to go to all three races, so you're just there for the third and final one.
So I know he's coming to Cedar Rapids in about 3 weeks, but somebody that I would give anything to see in person would be Bo Jackson. He's one of those mythical figures that people from a sports fan of a certain vintage will swear by it, will say this man
was talking about me. He's talking about people my age.
No, my parents' age. I've asked this question. It's funny because I prefaced it with, well, he was a little before my time, but I have to ask you about somebody. And they always say, no, be careful. Don't call us old. But I bring up Bo Jackson. And I say, I've seen highlights. He's unbelievable. But what is that? What was it about him that made him so legendary, that made him stick in your mind all these years later as a guy who was pretty good in Major League Baseball and showed some flashes in the NFL, and injuries derailed his career? I think that's a big part of it. It's sort of that what could have been with him. But for people swearing that he was the greatest athlete to ever walk this planet, I just wish that I would have been able to witness him playing either sport for one game.
He comes to mind for me because this is still the era in both football and baseball where guys were not all freakishly athletic.
Right.
And so when you saw somebody like Bo Jackson, he really was this sort of Greek god. And there's a very famous photo of him with the shoulder pads on with the baseball bat behind his back, which he will not, by the way, he no longer signs that image. There was some sort of falling out or there's a trademark issue or something. So I don't know why I'm even mentioning that, but that there was a baseball card that featured that picture, and I think it was 1990 or 1991 Score baseball cards. That was so sought after when I was a kid. You could have used that as currency to buy pretty much anything that you wanted. But Bo Jackson came along in an era where guys just didn't look like him, and they certainly didn't go out and perform at an all-star level in two of the four major sports. And it's not all that uncommon to see guys play two sports, but usually there's one where they're head and shoulders better at.
Right.
When Bo Jackson was in his prime with the Royals and the Raiders, you'd have people that would swear, well, he's a better baseball player than he is a football player, and you'd have most people saying he's a better football player than he was a baseball player. I mean, the guy was a freak. And then, unfortunately, the hip injury occurred while he was playing football and derailed both careers. Unfortunately, he's still one of those guys where when you hear his name, people get excited about him.
Exactly.
And of course, here there are some local ties with Bo Jackson and Chuck Long being involved in that 1985 Heisman race. Have we had one closer yet?
I don't believe so.
It's still
the tightest ever.
Still the tightest. There was a couple years ago, was there not one that was pretty close to overtaking that as the narrowest election victory in history in the Heisman? You're Mr. College Football. You've been over here. You're worrying about dad jokes. And I set you up right in your wheelhouse, and you don't have this?
Toby Gerhart was just edged out by Mark Ingram in 2009. So actually, let's see. Well, 1509. I believe that one might have been closer.
What happened to Toby Gerhart? Is he still around? I know he was with the Vikings for a while, right?
He just wasn't an NFL running back. There just wasn't enough about his skill set that made him a very effective NFL running back.
Wasn't he scrappy enough? Wasn't he hard-nosed enough?
First one in, last one to leave.
Yeah, all of these things that you always hear about players who look like Toby Gerhart. Stanford, right?
Yes. So I stand corrected. That was the closest one ever.
It's amazing how quickly my mind just completely gets rid of things that may or may not be important to me doing my job, and yet I retain completely useless information. 319-366-1600. You are going back in time to see any sporting event. 6379 says Disco Demolition Night at Comiskey Park. They just celebrated the 40th anniversary of Disco Demolition Night. What was it, a week, 2 weeks ago, something like that?
They celebrated it?
They did. The White Sox brought Steve Dahl to the ballpark. They had T-shirts. There was a...
That's unbelievable.
A big hullabaloo about it.
That is amazing to me.
That they would celebrate a promotion that went awry?
Yeah, like one of the most embarrassing moments in the franchise's history. I know that they don't maybe see it that way, but it quite honestly is one of the worst looks that you could possibly have when you have to discontinue a game because an entire stadium riots. That's pretty embarrassing, right? I guess not.
You take your victories where you can get them. 319-366-1600.
Is Cleveland celebrating like quarter beer night or whatever it was?
I believe that was 10-cent beer night.
10-cent
beer
night?
And they may or may not at least acknowledge. I don't think you'll see 10-cent beer night again anytime soon, at least not here in 2019. 524, we're going to be talking Cardinals baseball with Mark Saxon of The Athletic coming up in just a little bit. Kyle's going to have a big board update for you and more. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We'll continue right here on KGYM after this.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Get your vehicle ready for 4th of July travel. Right now at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store, pick up 5 quarts of Mobil Super Synthetic Motor Oil for $19.95. Protect against sludge and wear with Mobil Super Synthetic Motor Oil at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
DePaco is the credit union where your membership pays. Unlike typical profit-driven financials, DePaco's cooperative member-owned structure enables us to give money back to you. We do it via thank yous, a special member benefit that thanks you in cash for simply using your credit union services. It's money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and planning for your financial future. DePaco members, whether young or oldish, can earn. Since 2016, DePaco members have shared millions of dollars in thank yous. So go on, save, borrow, invest, and insure with DePaco, and earn thank yous for doing so. Find out what you're earning and how you can earn even more. Get the details at DePaco.com/thank yous. Requires credit union membership and thank yous program eligibility. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
At Menards, nobody beats our prices, and you'll save big money on auto accessories. Right now, all smart straps are on sale. 14-foot green Ratchet X straps are designed to withstand the toughest outdoor conditions. They can safely secure loads up to 500 pounds and have 1,500-pound braking strength. A 4-pack is on sale for $16.99. Sale prices are good through Saturday, July 6th. Now, during Menards' 4th of July sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Celebrate this season with a bang with the opportunity of a lifetime from Imon. For a limited time, lock in your internet price for life. That's right, get Imon 80 megabit internet for just $64 a month and lock in this fantastic monthly rate for life. Freedom from annual price increases. No ugly surprises when your promotion expires. For the first time ever, you have the opportunity to lock it in for life. Switch to Imon's Price for Life internet service today. Go to imon.net/radio before July 4th to sign up and lock it in for life.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind in school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
It's only 19 days till the big ride across the state, and you'll have even more fun riding with the right gear for a safe, comfortable ride. Get your bike tuned up and all the accessories you need right now at Hall Bicycle, 419 2nd Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
It's a Major League Baseball 4th of July doubleheader. First, the Pirates face the Cubs, then the Braves face the Phillies.
Thursday afternoon, starting at 2:30 here on the gym, KGYL.
5:28, we welcome you back in on a July 3rd edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, the South and North Gym frequencies in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, respectively, and online at KGYMradio.com, where you can vote in today's poll question: where will Kawhi Leonard, the last remaining big fish in NBA free agency, wind up? Two of the three choices located in Los Angeles. You've got the Lakers, the Clippers, or he could return to Toronto. Indications are that it's either the Lakers or the Raptors at this point. And there's mixed signals coming from various people. Nothing from Kawhi. He's not saying anything at this point. Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot, coming up in just a few minutes. Mark Saxon of The Athletic joins us to give us the latest on the St. Louis Cardinals as they head into the All-Star break. Let's bring in Kyle to the studio. He's going to bring you a Big Board update. Big Board updates on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, brought to you by a place that knows a thing or two about boards, Alexander Lumber. You can find them at their temporary Iowa City location, 2802 Independence Road, or you can also visit the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
Megan Gustafson made a lot of history and collected a lot of honors in her time with the Hawkeyes, and today she snuck in one last big one. She was named the Big Ten Female Athlete of the Year. She's the first Hawkeye to collect the award since Christy Gleason in 1994, and it really had to be her after becoming the first Big Ten player to ever be named the consensus National Player of the Year. Team USA dismantled Latvia in the round of 16 at the under-19 FIBA World Cup in Greece, and Bruce Weber again played all of his guys right around 20 minutes, but Tyrese Haliburton remained in the starting lineup. He scored 5 points on 2 of 3 shooting with 6 assists to 1 turnover, 4 rebounds, and 2 steals. The team will see its first real challenge when it plays Russia on Friday. The Iowa wrestling team had some good news made public yesterday as Gavin Teasdale announced he's transferring into Iowa from rival wrestling megalith Penn State. Teasdale was a 4-time state champion in Pennsylvania and at one time was committed to the Hawkeyes before winding up at Penn State for his freshman year. He reportedly projects anywhere from 125 to 141. Austin Schoelfer went 6 innings last night, yielding 3 hits and no earned runs while striking out 8 and walking 1. Gabe Snyder and Jacob Pearson had RBIs in a 3-1 Colonel victory over Burlington. They'll play one more in Burlington tonight before returning to Cedar Rapids tomorrow for a 5 o'clock start. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Twins and Athletics from Oakland. We'll pick up that one on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, at 7:30. And then we're off the air tomorrow for the 4th of July, but we've got a long day of baseball for you here on KGYM. We'll have the Twins and A's again at 2:30 on the North Gym, the Cubs and Pirates also at 2:30 on the South and Main Gyms, and then around 6:15, we'll have the Braves and Phillies on all 3 KGYM frequencies.
Thank you very much, Kyle. We'll hear from him again coming up in the 6 o'clock hour tonight. Also on the way in the third and final hour, the 6 o'clock showdown. Your opportunity to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. The 6 o'clock showdown. 7 questions in 60 seconds. If you can do better than your opponent, you'll be our winner tonight. And we'll be back at Mulligan's, I believe, next Thursday for the KGYM road trip, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. You can find Mulligan's at 1060 Old Marion Road. I'm sure they'll have some great specials going on tomorrow for the 4th of July. Have a safe and happy 4th of July for those of you who may be ending your Wednesday commutes, pulling into home, getting into the garage, ready to fire up the grill. We found out, by the way, BJ and Marion is safe and sound. I did put out the APB on Twitter for him. He's a little preoccupied. Looks like he's on a body of water somewhere, enjoying an ice-cold beverage, the unofficial ice-cold beverage of the state of Iowa. And he offered up some of his own grilling tips on Twitter, including less is more. You can take that. I hope he's not talking about this show. Less is more. As you head into your 4th of July weekend, we appreciate you having us be a part of it here. The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM. As promised, we bring on Mark Saxon of The Athletic, who covers the St. Louis Cardinals. And Mark, always a good time to sort of see how things are going as teams head into the All-Star break right now. How would you assess the first half of the season for the Cardinals?
Well, not ideal, I wouldn't say. You know, they got off to the – it's really been kind of this month-by-month strange, kind of hard-to-track team. They start out 20-10 or in first place, build a little lead. They collapse in May, go, 9-18, and then go 12-12 in June. So who knows what's on the horizon. Right now, they're just in the midst of a very punishing hitting slump that's sort of all the way through their lineup. And if they don't emerge from that fairly soon, things could really turn bad for a team that had high expectations.
You mentioned the slump. How helpless of a feeling is it right now for John Mozeliak and Michael Gersh when nobody, it seemingly, in the lineup is performing up to what they expected them to?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. There's only so much you can do if no one is performing to their career levels, and that's kind of where they are right now. Of course, Paul Goldschmidt and Matt Carpenter, you know, are probably the most below their kind of career star level production. So those guys are a concern. They've tried moving each of those guys in the lineup. Matt Carpenter from the leadoff spot, Paul Goldschmidt now batting cleanup versus second or third. But you're right, it goes beyond that. It's Colton Wong. It's Harrison Bader. It's Yadier Molina, even though it's hard to kind of say that given what he's mean to the franchise. So when it goes that deep, there's really not a whole lot of changes you can make because everyone's kind of slumping in tandem.
Mark Saxon with us from The Athletic. What do you think the front office does this month of July? We're now a little over 3 weeks away from the trade deadline and sort of a precarious position to be in, especially when you have the record that the Cardinals do right now.
Yeah, they're desperately searching for their team to give them a signal of what they should do, I think is the best way to put it. The front office is going to bring all their pro scouts in for meetings right around July 15th, and they'll sort of give them their travel itinerary, the players they're interested in acquiring, go see them. But right now, it's hard to know where they would send them. Again, you're below 500. You're not hitting at all. There's really nowhere, not an easy fix for the offense because a lot of your best-paid players are the ones who are performing the worst. So nobody's going to take those guys on. And you've got a pitching staff that also has underperformed to some extent, particularly on the starting side. I think you could make some changes there, but do they do it when the team hasn't proven itself to be a contender yet? So a lot of questions, really. And they could even go so far, I would say, if things don't go well, as becoming sellers. Marcell Ozuna won't be under contract probably beyond November. It's possible they'd listen to offers for him. Michael Wacha, similar. So it could really go a lot of different directions at this point, which is kind of surprising when you're already into the month of July.
Now, I know it's been like this the past three seasons, but you mentioned all those problems. How much more precarious does the situation get when you look up at the standings right now as they have the last couple of years and realize they're only a couple, 3.5 games out right now in the NL Central?
That makes the situation, actually, I think, a lot more tolerable, and it might, if John Mozeliak, as he has said repeatedly to me and the others, if he believes in this team as much as he says he does, and even if they're around 500 or even a tick below, maybe he does make that additional move that could help the team. And I think he needs to because what they're doing right now, if you're going to wait well beyond, you know, the halfway point, we've already crossed the halfway point. There's clearly things this team doesn't do well, and they could use a little help. They don't have any really members of the starting rotation who are lockdown starters. You know, you're going to get a day off for your bullpen. If they could acquire a top end starting pitcher, obviously that helps, but there's also probably about 15 or 20 other teams looking for those guys. So can the Cardinals put together the package that would tempt a team? And then the question becomes, are you willing to take on a rental from Garner for a couple months when, you know, you could have to give up some good young talent? And I would tend to say that's unlikely. I think if they trade for a top-end starting pitcher, they're going to try to get a guy who they have beyond 2 or 3 months. But, again, those guys are hard to pry away, too. That costs you even more on the prospect end. So we'll see. It'll be an interesting and very kind of definitive trade deadline for this front office, because a lot of Cardinals fans are a little upset with the composition of the roster at the moment.
You mentioned worst-case scenario here over the next couple weeks. They decide to become sellers. What would the reaction of that fan base be if they saw sort of the white flag being run up in late July?
That's a great question. I don't know. You know, some of the trades they've made have actually been subtractive rather than addition, but they've sort of been able to sort of hide it in the you know, as if they were, you know, getting pieces that help them compete. They traded Tommy Pham for minor leaguers, one of whom has been up a little bit this year, Genesis Cabrera. They traded Luke Voit, who's doing very well for the Yankees, for Chasen Shreve, a very ineffective left-handed pitcher for them for a little while. And Giovanni Gallegos, who actually has been quite successful in the bullpen for them this year. So, you know, they have done that a little bit in recent seasons, and I think fans are okay with it. They're not as okay with it when Luke Voit goes and does what he's done for the Yankees, or Tommy Pham continues to produce. But they have been more willing to do that in recent seasons. So I think people would accept it if they can imagine a team that's more exciting, that's more interesting in coming years. And so it really kind of depends what they get back. If they can sell it as, look, we just got one of the top prospects in baseball for this guy, I think Cardinals fans would accept that.
How frustrated are the fans with just some of the moves that have been made that look good at the time, where a lot of the bullpen arms that they brought in, going back to Brett Cecil and Greg Holland and this year and Andrew Miller, and then the moves that they made bringing in Marcell Ozuna via trade and Paul Goldschmidt, a lot of those just haven't worked out very well for John Mozeliak.
Yeah, certainly on Marcell Ozuna and Paul Goldschmidt, I would agree with you. I loved both trades at the time. Paul Goldschmidt, I don't know what's going on, whether it's the pressure of being on a new team and signing the biggest contract of his life could have something to do with it. We've seen that so many times over the years. Ozuna, they've actually gotten good value from. They knew they were going to have him 2 years. Last year, he was kind of below the previous year, but kind of career norm. This year, he was really producing runs for them when he was healthy. So I think that one looks okay. On the other part, on the reliever, when they've scouted and signed veteran relievers, they've been absolutely atrocious at finding those guys. Like, virtually every one of them has been a bust, from Brett Cecil to Greg Holland to Luke Gregerson to even now Andrew Miller has been well below, you know, what he had been before. I just don't understand this mentality of offering 2, 3, in some cases 4-year deals to guys who are aging kind of relievers who have done good things in the past for other teams. That's just not a good MO to me. And it almost speaks to a front office that's trying to appease the fan base that calls it cheap. And I don't think that's a good way of doing business. I think they're better off just converting some of their failed starters internally into relievers. And sometimes you get really usable pieces that way. So we'll see if that MO kind of changes, but it hasn't worked for them thus far.
You mentioned among names that the Cardinals could possibly kick the tires on moving, Michael Wacha. What type of return do you think they could get for him at this point? And do you have a team or two in mind where you think he'd be a good fit?
Well, that's the tough part. I mean, I think their return would be relatively scant. You know, Michael Wacha hasn't pitched very well the last several seasons. And teams know that he's sort of had an off and on shoulder injury that typically crops up in sometime in August. So I don't know, to be honest with you. I think it depends how desperate teams are for arms. But he is, you know, young. He's relatively young. He can be effective. His stuff, you know, appears to be good. So I would think they'd get something, maybe one mid-level prospect, something like that. But the question, I think, becomes, you know, is he one of your five best starters? And to me, that answer right now is no. So I think to move Waka more becomes, let's see what we have in a Daniel Ponce de Leon or an Austin Gomber so that we have a better notion of what next year's rotation might look like. Because this year, so far, has been a little bit disappointing.
Is there any level of concern right now with the performance of Jack Flaherty, who I think they were hoping would develop into that ace, still could, but has had a pretty disappointing first half?
Yeah, there's an enormous level of concern, but there's also an understanding, I think, that everyone has that it's a hard game. And Jack was so good as a first-year guy last year, rookie of the year candidate. You know, there are times when the other team adjusts to you. And I think there's probably something to be said about his patterns were a little bit predictable. He has a very good slider. But if you're behind in the count, you're not as likely to throw that slider, and they're certainly less likely to swing at it. So he's allowed a lot of home runs this year. That's really been what's bit him. It's happening to a lot of pitchers, and he's one of them. You know, the ball certainly seems juiced, you know, by everything we've seen. The seams are tighter. The tighter ball is going further. Doubles are now turning into home runs. So he's kind of the poster child for what a lot of pitchers are going through right now.
Mark, we appreciate you joining us tonight. Before we part ways with you, a question that we've discussed here recently with regard to the National League Central as a whole. Are we just seeing really good teams beating up on each other, or is the Central just a bunch of sort of mediocre teams that we all overrate or thought too much of coming into the season?
I think we did overrate some of these teams. Everyone sort of suspected that the Cubs had their flaws, but once we saw the way they were hitting again versus last year, I think a lot of people jumped back on that bandwagon. Well, guess what? The flaws didn't disappear. The bullpen isn't particularly great. The starting rotation can be good, but not always. It's getting older. Brewers certainly have issues with their starting rotation. Both teams can hit, but it's hard to win, you know, 11-8 every night. And the Cardinals aren't hitting at all. The Reds and Pirates are kind of okay. I think it'll kind of stay like this all year, which tells you that, you know, if you can stay anywhere near that 500 mark, you got a chance. So it's probably exciting for the Pirates and the Reds to think that they're in it, even though they're not very good teams. And maybe it's fool's gold for the Cardinals to think that they can contend at, you know, a game under 500. So, yeah, I do think it's proven to be a more mediocre division than we thought it was.
Mark Saxon of The Athletic, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. Enjoy the fourth.
Okay, guys, you too. Take care. Happy Independence Day.
The Athletic, a tremendous subscription website, which pretty much covers everything nowadays. They've added WNBA reporters. They've added NASCAR writers. It's my favorite website.
I hope
Scott Docterman is listening.
Still have to get my subscription. Still haven't invested yet, but
There may or may not be a sale going on Athletic subscriptions right now for the 4th of July. I don't know. They don't have those sales all that often. 319-366-1600. You're the Cardinals fan here. Did anything he say resonate with you or make you feel any better about the way that the season has gone?
No, not at all.
You tell me. I'll ask you the same question that I asked Mark. How would that fan base react to the Cardinals making the decision, the front office that is making the decision, say, in two and a half weeks, if they're still sort of spinning their wheels, that it's time to run up the white flag?
I don't know, because I don't know how much more negative / frustrated or even apathetic at this point they can be about the product that's currently on the field. It's been like this for 3 years. If this was the first year of them not contending or being a mediocre ball club, and they ran up the white flag after winning 100 games, what was it, in 2015, then there would be a strong reaction. But I think a lot of people are looking at this and saying, first of all, what are you going to get that's going to be to instantly make you a contender if you're the Cardinals? Yeah, you could get another bat, but does that fix the inconsistency from 1 through 8 right now with the rest of the guys? Does that all of a sudden allow Paul Goldschmidt to start hitting? Does that bring Marcell Ozuna off the injured list quicker? Does that make Matt Carpenter any better? Because he has had an atrocious first half. I don't think that it does. And you could bring in a starting pitcher. Okay. What are you going to give up? What do you have that other people covet on your team? And do you want to mortgage the future by getting rid of some of your younger pieces? Yeah, I guess you could, but for a rental for Madison Bumgarner for half a year, for a guy who may or may not sort of be out of bullets in that left arm, I just don't know what they can do to make themselves any better other than, I don't know, starting to hit. That's the fact of the matter. Everybody's slumping right now. They can't score, and you can't win if you can't score.
I never in a million years thought that Paul Goldschmidt would be looking ordinary.
He's had a tough first half.
Well, that's what the All-Star break is for. Guys can hit the reset button, and if they rebound and they get out of the gate strong, then I think they're going to stick around and probably have designs on that wild card. And then, as you mentioned, that's when you have to take into account, do you make a play for a short-term rental where, best case scenario, you wind up with a wild card, or worst case scenario, you move some pieces that may help you in the future and you get nothing in return for it and you miss the postseason again. The worst place a baseball team can be in this day and age is sort of stuck in neutral. And I look at the Cardinals over the last couple years, they're sort of shifting from drive to neutral. They're right in between there. You know, sometimes you slip gears and all of a sudden you go to gun the engine and you're not going anywhere. That's the Cardinals right now. But the entire division is sort of playing that type of baseball. But they're going to have to make a decision, in my opinion, sometime soon. Otherwise, they're going to be not great, not bad, just there. And you know who that reminds me of? Reminds me of the way that the Cubs did business for a number of years. People are going to come out to the ballpark to support the team. They've got great fans. Ballpark Village is fun. Hey, the team may not be that great, but let's go hang out. And you're shaking your head, but I'm not saying that that's going to be the case, but they seem to be sliding toward that business model at this point.
They don't seem to have a business model. That's the problem. Well, some years they're talking, they don't want to go out and spend money except for, like Mark said, on aging relievers. Is that a good business model? Because every single one of those acquisitions has been a complete and utter disaster. Every one of them.
You don't want to spend money on aging anyone nowadays.
Much less relievers.
Problem is, the young guys aren't exactly hitting the market.
No.
They won't be anytime soon if we see things continue in that direction as teams have locked up players to very team-friendly deals moving forward after a couple off seasons in which free agency was, in my opinion, held in check by the owners. I'm not going to use the word collusion, but I think that there was a designed effort between the teams to try to rein in some of that money again. So we'll see what direction the Cardinals can move in. Do they make a move and try to look? The division is there. I think it's wide open. You heard Mark. The Cubs are not a great team, and the Brewers also have their flaws. So it's a tremendously miserable position to be in if you're the Cardinals, because it's there. You can see it. It's within reach, but at the same time, it doesn't feel like it is.
Right, because you don't have the horses to match up with those two teams offensively. That's the problem. You look at those two lineups and you say, yeah, those two lineups have dudes in them. Those two lineups, 1 through 8, scare me. If you're the Cardinals, I've been saying this for the past 3 years, they don't. They right now, the way that they are hitting, they don't have anybody in that lineup that scares you. Hopefully Goldschmidt can turn things around. Hopefully Marcelo Ozuna can come off the injured list and some of those other guys can start hitting. But right now, yeah, they're 3.5 games out. But even if by some miracle they were to win the division, this is not a team that would last more than 4 games in a division series.
319-366-1600. There you have it. A look at the Cardinals as we head into Major League Baseball's All-Star break next weekend. 5:54, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll let you know what's in store in the third and final hour. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM. Back after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat, working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Even though it's a holiday week, the City of Cedar Rapids reminds you that there's no delay in garbage recycling or yard waste collection. So set your carts at the curb by 7 a.m. on your regular collection day. Never miss another garbage pickup. Sign up for text and email alerts before every holiday or collection interruption at CRNewsNow.com.
Free offer contingent on subscription. Pay shipping and handling. Cancel anytime. Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free when you text the word LIFT to 60-60-60. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text LIFT to 60-60-60. Text LIFT to 60-60-60.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. The perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. The 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Sports View. Today's topic, who deserves to win big this season? My two cents, good drivers. I mean, that's why there's Snapshot from Progressive. Let's go to Rick for some confusing metaphors.
Look, if you put a classically trained cellist in a garage band and you tell him to play Filet Mignon, I guarantee you, the meat on that burrito ain't gonna light the candle.
Thanks for clarifying, Rick.
If you're a good driver, there's no other way to say it. You deserve discounts with Snapshot. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
Ted here, dialing in from Denver.
Kenzie and the Chicago team dialing in.
Okay, let's get started.
Ted's in charge of this project. He's a total goober. And what's with the haircut?
Guys, can definitely hear you. Like, really good reception.
Conference call's no-brainer. The mute button. Barbasol's no-brainer. Finally making razors to go along with America's favorite shaving cream. Try Barbasol's Ultra 6 Plus razor with 6 ultra-thin blades for a close, comfortable shave. Barbasol.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. The perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. The 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
Golden Wingo on the road.
Live at the House of Blues Cleveland for the 2019 MLB All-Star Game.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance and Sherwin-Williams.
Monday, July 8th
on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Play ball.
Welcome back in the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, taking a brief hiatus along with the gym class tomorrow for the 4th of July holiday. You know who's not taking a hiatus tomorrow? Those City of Cedar Rapids workers who come around and pick up your garbage, recycling, and yardie carts. If you are regularly scheduled to have your yard waste, recycling, and garbage picked up on Thursdays, make sure you set those containers out curbside tonight because there is no delay in the collection of the containers this week. So no holiday delays with your garbage collection here in the city of Cedar Rapids. If you don't live here in Cedar Rapids, check locally. There may be delays in various cities. 319-366-1600. We will return on Friday as the countdown to kickoff continues. Take a look at the Wisconsin Badgers on Friday, Big Ten Football Media Days later this month in Chicago. Cannot wait. Looking forward to that. We'll start working on getting some guests lined up. I haven't seen anything as far as the players that are attending yet.
They have not announced them yet.
Probably coming, my guess would be sometime next week, maybe.
Hopefully.
I think we've probably got a pretty good idea of who, a couple players. Nate Stanley was there last year. I think Iowa will probably bring him again.
Nate Stanley will be there. We'll put together the other list of the list of the next two, because off the top of my head I can't think of them, but if I look at the roster, I can pretty much guess who it will be.
Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll get to today's Would Ya. Even though it's Thursday, we'll do even though it's Wednesday, we'll do a Thursday staple, plus the 6 o'clock showdown, your chance to win a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub. It's all on the way next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Radio Sports Center.
I'm Kevin Winter. Jared Lorenzen was a cultural icon, a cultural phenomenon in college football when he quarterbacked the Kentucky Wildcats back in the early 2000s. He had a cannon for an arm. He would scramble. He'd create plays with his feet. And oh, by the way, he weighed more than 300 pounds. He was nicknamed the Hefty Lefty, and he never shied away from his weight issues in his battle with food. Today, Jared Lorenzen died at the age of 38 years old. He had battled cardiac and renal issues lately, along with an infection. It forced him to spend the last week in the hospital. He had a heart of gold for those who knew him, including Kentucky Sports Radio's Matt Jones, a guest on the Paul Feinbaum Show earlier today on ESPN Radio.
He recognized his role as sort of an ambassador for the state. And I watched him, how kind he was to people. And Paul, he was kind to people who were not kind to him.
That is Matt Jones on the Paul Feinbaum Show. After Kentucky, Jared Lorenzen would play in the NFL with the Giants and Colts, at least be on their teams. He would also play in the Arena League. Jared Lorenzen dead today at the age of 38 years old. NBA, while we all wait for Kawhi Leonard, who knows when a decision will come. He's apparently in Toronto meeting with the Raptors tonight. Memphis is trading Kyle Korver once they actually get him from Utah, and Javon Carter to the Phoenix Suns for Josh Jackson, De'Anthony Melton, and a couple of second-round picks. The Suns are then going to buy out Kyle Korver. Lakers, Sixers, and Bucks are potential suitors. The NFL says Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott not going to be punished for his role in an altercation in Vegas back in May. Netherlands beat Sweden 1-0 at the World Cup semifinals. It's the U.S. and the Dutch Sunday morning for the title.
It's a Major League Baseball 4th of July doubleheader. First, the Pirates face the Cubs. Then the Braves face the Phillies. Coverage begins at 3:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
Free offer contingent on subscription. Pay shipping and handling. Cancel anytime. Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free.
when you text the word LIFT to 60-60-60. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text LIFT to 60-60-60. Text LIFT to 60-60-60.
Hey, everybody, it's Chris Atterbury. Game two between the Twins and the A's coming up as we kick off a big holiday stretch of the week. It's a 7:30 pregame lineup card, 8:07 first pitch. Kyle Gibson seeks win number 9 as he opposes right-hander Mike Fiers. It's the Twins and the A's game two. Join us right here on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
6:03, welcome back in. It's the third and final hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Todd and Alex with you on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, as well as 106.3 and 107.5, the South and North Gyms in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, online at kgymradio.com. Pretty concentrated third and final hour of the program here, as we'll do a Thursday staple, Would Ya, on Wednesday, because we're off the air tomorrow. We also have an opportunity for you to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road, courtesy of the 6 o'clock showdown tonight, which is on the way shortly. 7 questions in 60 seconds, and if you answer more than your opponent, you're going to be enjoying delicious food and beverage at Mulligan's. We'll be back there next Thursday for the KGYM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. As for tomorrow, we will be nowhere in particular. No local programming, as we've mentioned throughout the week in the run-up to tomorrow. You guys will get a healthy dose of ESPN's Major League Baseball coverage, including the ESPN broadcast of the Cubs and the Pirates tomorrow. It's part of a July 4th triple header. The Netherlands has defeated Sweden and will be playing the United States on Sunday for the Women's World Cup.
How can Alex Morgan mock the Netherlands?
Netherlands. Well, don't they? Well, no, I don't know. I've got nothing, but she's got, let's say, under 80 hours to figure out how to come up with a goal celebration that perhaps pokes the Netherlands. The British, by the way, are very upset about the lack of decorum in the celebratory gesture that she made yesterday, drinking her tea.
I noticed. They were not happy.
Piers Morgan
was mad.
Of all the weeks to remind the British that the United States is superior, this being the 4th of July week, probably couldn't have asked for any better timing. So that's at 10 a.m. Sunday morning.
What are the Dutch famous for?
They were referenced in Austin Powers. I know that. Dutch letters. I don't know whether that's an actual Dutch thing or not, but if you ever pass through Pella, they certainly are delicious.
Would they know the term, what a Dutch oven is?
Going Dutch ovens. Going Dutch. I guess you could score a goal and then make somebody else do the celebration or split the celebration with you. We'll find out as the World Cup fever is starting to break in this country. And we will be back to not caring about international football as of about 12:30, maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. We've got a couple people on the text line wondering whether or not we've referenced something that was touched on that Sports Center at the top of the hour. Sad news today from the world of college football: the passing of somebody that has had their name brought up a couple times on this program in the past, Jared Lorenzen, the former Kentucky quarterback who spent some time in the NFL with the New York Giants, passing away today at the age of 38. 38 is far too young for anybody to die, in my opinion. You will remember Jared Lorenzen most likely as the very large quarterback of the Kentucky Wildcats. His size, he battled his weight gain pretty much his entire life. It sounds as if that was part of the reason that he was suffering a myriad of health problems at the end of his life. But the guy say what you will about him, tried to make a comeback several years ago in an indoor football league. He loved playing football. He looked like an offensive lineman. He was a quarterback and a pretty damn good college quarterback. We've been talking about the Heisman winners in the past. Sometimes you can be a great college player and you're not a good professional player. He didn't have much of a professional career.
Won a Super Bowl.
But he did win a Super Bowl as a backup. And I think probably will occupy a certain place in the hearts and minds of college football fans who remember him from his days in Kentucky. For a big guy, he could move. He was pretty mobile out there.
He was. And it's heartbreaking. It really is to see somebody pass away at the age of 38 who has admittedly battled addiction, not necessarily with drugs or alcohol, but with food. And he's admitted that. And it was clearly something that took an effect on him. You mentioned him trying to make a comeback a couple of years ago with an indoor football league team. And at that point, you could just tell that he's a large guy, very, very large guy, and he was really struggling, and he still was talking about his struggles with mental health and with what he was going through. So just terrible news to hear about a guy. And you heard one of his friends coming on the Paul Feinbaum show, Matt Jones, talking about just how good of a guy he was and how he treated people well, even though he was many times the punchline of many jokes.
The hefty lefty. The Pillsbury Throwboy.
Right.
Those were two nicknames. I think the Hefty Lefty is somewhat appropriate. Pillsbury Throwboy, probably not so much anymore. But, you know, when you hear those two, you knew exactly who it was in reference to. And, again, Kentucky's football Twitter account tweeted out some highlights of Jared Lorenzen. The other thing, he wore number 22, which is definitely not a number you associate with quarterback play. So that made him even more unique. But a sad day, sad news in the world of sports, certainly, as Jared Lorenzen passes away at the age of 38. We normally do Woodja on Thursday. Since we're not on the air tomorrow, I thought we would bring it to the airwaves today. And inspired by the last two stops on the countdown to kickoff, yesterday we previewed the Illinois Fighting Illini. Today we talked about the Minnesota Golden Gophers. These are two programs that share a border with the state of Iowa. Oftentimes you'll cross paths with both of them or one of them on the recruiting trails. And both programs, for the most part, over the last 20 years, with a few exceptions, have been laying dormant, so to speak. So today's would you is, which program, Illinois or Minnesota, would you say would be the bigger threat to Iowa if it ever took that next step and became a consistent winner? Illinois or Minnesota, which one would be the bigger threat to Iowa if it ever became a consistent winner? 319-366-1600.
So this isn't even which one's more likely to become a consistent winner.
Not more likely to. I think you and I can probably debate or discuss that if we wanted to. But this is given an even playing field, Minnesota or Illinois, which program do you think Iowa would prefer stayed down and stayed in its lane and not take that next step forward where they were consistently winning, let's say, eight wins a season, which isn't going to happen for either one of those programs anytime soon, but that's beside the point.
I think my answer would be the same for both of these questions, and for the question that you just asked, the answer is the University of Minnesota. I know that there's this prevailing thought that Illinois is a sleeping giant based on the number of students they have, how good the school is. But the Twin Cities in Minnesota, that's a program with P.J. Fleck at the helm right now that is much more of a threat to Iowa than Illinois is. I think that there are many deeper issues at Illinois that are going to keep it from ever becoming good at consistently good at football. You think about some of the great teams that Illinois has had, or some of the better teams that Illinois has had, their coach was fired 2 years later in each of those cases. They can't establish any type of consistency. And if they were to do that, I honestly don't know how. I can't envision it happening. That's how tough this question is. I can't envision Illinois becoming that. And I can't envision Minnesota becoming that. And with the school and the Twin Cities and the facilities that they have, and just maybe a better track record of winning than Illinois has had, and a young coach who seems to be at least seems to still have that ability to recruit, I think Minnesota would be much bigger of a threat than Illinois would.
63-79 on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Minnesota is a much bigger rivalry. Used to be season-ending game. We're not talking about rivalries here. We're talking about which team would be the bigger threat to Iowa. Recruiting, things of that nature.
If
Illinois' facilities right now are still god-awful.
They're awful.
But you use the term that gets thrown around a lot with Illinois, because every time they hire a coach, I swear the coach says, this is a sleeping giant. This program is a sleeping giant, and I've been
to... Can you wake the damn giant up, please?
Downstate Illinois. It's a very sleepy region of the land of Lincoln. The answer here to me is probably clearly Minnesota, although I'm always curious to see whether anybody thinks Illinois would be the bigger threat to Iowa. Minnesota is located in a pretty large metropolitan city. There are things that Minneapolis and St. Paul have to offer a college kid that Iowa City or Champaign or West Lafayette or Bloomington that they don't have to offer or just can't compete with. Minnesota's facilities, TCF Bank Stadium, very nice, much better than the Metrodome in my opinion, although you do run into the problem of occasionally having to play in bad weather. In Minnesota, that it comes with the territory. We've seen Iowa recruit in both states. Minnesota churns out some surprisingly good college football talent.
They do.
And Illinois also has its fair share of talented prep players, and the Hawkeyes have had success in both of those states in large part because neither one of those programs really was at a point where they were rolling.
I think Illinois is interesting because, yes, they do churn out a lot of really good players, and very few of them go to Illinois. And it's sort of like regular college students in the state of Illinois. How many of them actually go to the University of Illinois? So a lot of them, but the admission standards are pretty high. So you see a lot of them going to other schools. You see them sort of sprinkled throughout. A lot of them go out of state. Some of them go to Illinois State. There are many different options for a kid growing up in Illinois than, say, where I grew up, where 100 of my graduating class in the city of St. Louis, 100 of the 500 kids that graduated went to the University of Missouri. It is much different there, and I just don't see Illinois ever becoming a very attractive spot in the football world for these players, especially when Notre Dame is right there, especially when Iowa and Minnesota and teams from around the country know that that is a national recruiting hotbed, the city of Chicago and the surrounding areas. Illinois just seems like 9th or 10th on their list in their own state. And it's going to take a lot for that to change.
What needs to change for Illinois to pick itself up off the mat? As you mentioned, the Fighting Illini were in the Sugar Bowl 15 years ago under Ron Turner. And that was pretty much the highlight for them. Ron Zook had a limited amount of success there. And then Tim Beckman was a complete and utter failure. And now you have Lovie Smith, who was a recognizable household name in the state of Illinois, but he's struggled to have success as a as an NFL coach working in the college game.
As 9406 points out, their in-state tuition is very high at Illinois, which is also why a lot of students, mostly why a lot of students go out of state.
That's not all that's going to be high in Illinois. Ho, hail.
I catch what you're saying there. I think that there are academic restrictions there that make it pretty difficult at times, where you have recruiters coming out and saying, I've heard this from... From an assistant coach at the University of Illinois, we have higher academic constraints for getting football players in here than Northwestern does. Now, that may be them feeding a line of you know what, but I think that's a big problem. And where the university is located, okay, that's not exactly the biggest draw to bring somebody to downstate Illinois.
Really tough draw.
It's brutal. It is, how are you going to bring some, say, all right, yep, come down to this terrible football program with high academic standards that make it tough to get kids into school over national recruiters coming in from California, Notre Dame, Iowa. That is I've been to Champaign. I have seen that campus. That might be the biggest obstacle that they have, more than anything that I just mentioned. How can you get a high school kid to buy into that when the program has not had any type of sustained success?
It seems strange talking about Illinois today after having discussed them yesterday as part of the countdown to kickoff, but I thought with Minnesota being today's subject, Illinois and Minnesota, they both are programs that are trying to catch up to Iowa, trying to take that step forward. They've been past. You can make the argument that Northwestern is in a much better place than either one of these programs is. Purdue, with Jeff Brohm at the helm, is in much better shape, in my opinion, certainly than Illinois. Again, Minnesota's got some things working for it, but this is going to be one of those shut up and prove it years for PJ Fleck.
It will be. I think that if they win eight games, it's another step forward. They're going to be fine. Now, if they win six, they win five, they don't make a bowl game, it's going to be more hand-wringing about PJ Fleck. Is he sort of a con man, or is he actually a good coach? I think that he's going to be fine. I thought they took a step forward last year, and I think they're going to do it again this year. I've come around to Minnesota a little bit more than at first blush when I looked at their team and their schedule. They have plenty of depth on offense. They're going to go three or four deep at the running back position, and their third-string running back, Mo Ibrahim, had almost 1,000 yards last year. So I think Minnesota is much closer than Illinois is, and the point that is made on the Hertine and Stocker text line, didn't Ron Zook take them to a Rose Bowl? Yeah, he did, and he was out of a job, let's see, 4 years later, he was gone. He went from 9-4 to 5-7 the next year. Therein lies the problem. No type of sustained success for Illinois. And it's always been like that.
Let's go to the phone lines and bring Keith in Cedar Rapids aboard before we get to the 6 o'clock showdown. Keith, what's up?
So, Todd, Illinois can do a couple things to kind of help itself. One, it needs to update its facilities. Like you said, those facilities are god-awful. But then there are a couple of different ways that they can do to at least build their player base. So, one, obviously you try and go after those 4- and 5-star recruits. Those guys ain't going to Illinois. Two, you can go ahead and take the Iowa approach, build the talent, try and get them to stay with sustained success of building it. Or three, you know, you try and go the transfer route. But Illinois can't seem to get either one of those three even going. I mean, you can win at Illinois. It's been proven. You've seen it. Like Alex said, Ron Zook went 9-4 and went to the Rose Bowl. I mean, but Minnesota definitely has a leg up in this area. Twin Cities is a bigger area. They have the facilities to prove it. And PJ Fleck seems like he's going to be a good coach. Illinois just has this big old uphill battle, and they need to start somewhere, and they need to try and get some type of traction for success. That's what I got for you guys.
Keith, appreciate hearing from you. Hope you have a splendid 4th of July. The facilities at Illinois are, until they completely
are
completely overhauled. We were there a couple years ago, and they had renovated it since the last time that I had been there. And you want to talk about, you know, taping up an old cardboard box that was sort of, you know, it wasn't really a renovation so much as it was just trying to slap a new coat of paint on stuff. Now, I believe they've got some workout facilities and things that we probably don't get to see or aren't privy to.
I got to see those a few years ago, too. They're okay.
They're okay.
They're better than the stadium.
But the stadium itself, Memorial Stadium, is not a great home field advantage. And I can't imagine bringing recruits in for a weekend at Memorial Stadium to try to sell them on playing their college football there. The atmosphere is non-existent.
Let me ask you something, because I've been given some information about somebody who would really like to coach at Illinois. Could the option ever work at Illinois? The triple option. Are they desperate enough to try to go that route?
The triple option?
So yes.
You're talking like, was it Navy?
Army,
right?
Is what I'm
Army.
Yeah, Navy, one of the, both of them. But I'm speaking of
shout
Army.
Out to the service academies on the 4th of July. That's my patriotism shining through there.
Jeff Munkin is the head coach at Army, and he has taken that program from being horrible and not beating Navy for two decades almost to 10-3 and 11-2 the last two seasons and beating Navy both times. Three consecutive winning seasons for Army. He has done a masterful job, and I've been told by one of his former players that his dream job is to coach at the University of Illinois. That's his dream job. Would you ever envision them going that direction, knowing that they are going to struggle to bring in recruits, knowing that their facilities are a leg down, knowing that they're going to have issues bringing academically substandard players into the program? Could you see them going that direction and trying to recreate something and throw a wrinkle into the Big Ten?
A gimmick, basically.
Pretty much.
At this point, I think you get desperate enough to try virtually anything. They went the route of Lovie Smith. I can't help but think when they hired Lovie Smith, the name C.C. Sabathia comes to mind, because for a couple years, you go into a fantasy baseball draft and you take a recognizable name. Maybe you're looking to fill out your pitching staff. Oh, yeah, C.C. Sabathia is good. And he hasn't really been all that great the last couple years. Lovie Smith is a recognizable name. Unfortunately, he's a recognizable name because he was the head coach of the Bears and comes from largely an right. NFL background. And that's not going to get it done for you. So I think you do have to think outside the box at Illinois. And if it's the route of the triple option, I do think you'd have some success, because it's not the offense that Big Ten coordinators would be used to seeing week in and week out. You would really, on a one-week turnaround, you'd really have to put the time in the film room to figure out ways to slow that down. So if they got the right players there and they ran that may be their only hope.
Maybe they could get to back-to-back bowl games, actually.
We'll go ahead and get our final big board update out of the way here. That way Kyle can answer the phones when it's time for the 6 o'clock showdown. Big board updates on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Alexander Lumber. You can find them at their temporary Iowa City location, 2802 Independence Road, or at the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street. Here's Kyle.
Megan Gustafson made a lot of history and collected a lot of honors in her time with the Hawkeyes, and today she snuck in one last big one. She was named the Big Ten Female Athlete of the Year. She's the first Hawkeye to collect the award since Christy Gleason in 1994, and it really had to be her after becoming the first Big Ten player to ever be named the consensus National Player of the Year. Team USA dismantled Latvia by 50 points in the round of 16 at the Under-19 FIBA World Cup in Greece. Bruce Weber again played all of his guys right around 20 minutes, but Tyrese Halliburton remained in the starting lineup. He scored 5 points on 2 of 3 shooting with 6 assists to 1 turnover, 4 rebounds, and 2 steals. The team will see its first real challenge when it plays Russia on Friday. The Iowa wrestling team had some good news made public yesterday as Gavin Teasdale announced he's transferring into Iowa from rival wrestling megalith Penn State.
Teasdale was a four-time state champion in Pennsylvania and at one time was committed to the Hawkeyes before winding up at Penn State for his freshman season. He reportedly projects anywhere from 125 to 141. Austin Schulfer went six innings last night, yielding three hits and no earned runs while striking out eight and walking just one. Gabe Snyder and Jacob Pearson had RBIs in a 3-1 Colonel victory over Burlington. They'll play one more in Burlington tonight before returning to Cedar Rapids tomorrow for a 5 o'clock holiday start. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Twins and Athletics from Oakland. We'll pick that up on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, at 7:30. And then we're off the air for the fourth tomorrow. But we've got a long day of baseball for you here on KGYM. We'll have the Twins and A's again at 2:30 on the North Gym. The Cubs and Pirates also at 2:30 on the South and Main Gyms. And then around 6:15, we'll have the Braves and Phillies on all three KGYM frequencies.
Cubs and Pirates are off and running at PNC Park. Chicago up 1-0 in the top of the second inning. Yu Darvish off to a pretty solid start. The Brewers and the Reds scoreless after one inning. The game's in progress today. As Kyle mentioned, the Twins at Oakland tonight, so that'll be a late night on the West Coast. Same can be said for the St. Louis Cardinals. We talked with Mark Saxon, who covers them for The Athletic. They are in Seattle. And the White Sox, a 7-5 winner over Detroit in Game 1 of that doubleheader. Dylan Cease picking up a victory in his Major League debut. Game 2 of that day-night doubleheader set for a 7-10 start. Right now, we need callers number 1 and 2 to 319-366-1600. You are our contestants tonight in the 6 o'clock showdown. On the line, a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We'll take our first two callers to 319-366-1600. We'll find out who our contestants are and play for that Mulligan's gift card when we return. 366-1600, keep trying. We'll take our first two callers back after this.
DePaco is the credit union where your membership pays. Unlike typical profit-driven financials, DePaco's cooperative member-owned structure enables us to give money back to you. We do it via thank yous, a special member benefit that thanks you in cash for simply using your credit union services. It's money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and planning for your financial future. DePaco members, whether young or oldish, can earn. Since 2016, DePaco members have shared millions of dollars in thank yous. So go on, save, borrow, invest, and insure with DePaco and earn thank yous for doing so. Find out what you're earning and how you can earn even more. Get the details at DePaco.com/thank yous. Requires credit union membership and thank yous program eligibility. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
Star Equipment now sells, rents, and repairs heavy-duty forestry equipment, now carrying durable mulching heads, disc mulchers, and other skid steer attachments by FECON, Diamond, and Bradco. That means your next tough job just became a whole lot easier. Rent or buy your forestry equipment now at Star Equipment. And while you're there, ask about current government grants for mulching equipment. Star Equipment, Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
Sign your kids up for the Metro Youth Football Association's 2019 season. Safety is always number one, so like many colleges, all kids will have Guardian caps this year, and every coach is trained and certified with USA Football. Backed by popular demand is the Modified Flag Football program for third graders with pads to introduce tackle techniques with no kid-to-kid contact. Fourth through eighth graders play tackle, and everybody learns and has a blast. Practice begins mid-August, and equipment fitting starts soon. Get more info on their Facebook page, Metro Youth Football Association in Cedar Rapids.
Hi, I'm a local dollar, and I just want you to know that if you buy local, that local businesses can grow. Put me in the pocket of your local grocery store, or take me to the farmer's market for flowers, soaps, and more. Spend me at the diner, or get ice cream at the pool. Put me down for coffee, or donate me to your school.
KGYM is a local radio station. We are local.
We support local.
Yay!
A local dollar goes a long, long way, but it's never far from home.
It's only 19 days till the big ride across the state, and you'll have even more fun riding with the right gear for a safe, comfortable ride. Get your bike tuned up and all the accessories you need right now at Hall Bicycle, 419 2nd Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
It's a Major League Baseball 4th of July doubleheader. First, the Pirates face
face the Cubs. Then the Braves face the Phillies.
Thursday afternoon starting at 2:30 here on the Gym. KGYL.
All right, welcome back in. The Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn going out with a bang heading into the 4th of July. Somebody's going to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. That somebody could be Sean in Marion. He's going to be answering my questions tonight. Or it could be Josh in Urbana, who will be answering Alex's questions. Sean, hang tight, remain silent. Alex is going to find out whether Josh would like to go first or last tonight.
What do you think, Josh?
I think I'd like to go last.
Okay, so Josh, remain silent. Sean, how you doing tonight?
Not too bad.
Pretty sure you know the drill at this point. 7 questions, 60 seconds. If you don't know the answer, just say pass, and we'll try to circle back around if we've got enough time. Whenever you're ready, I'll read your first question.
Yep, ready.
All right, the NFL announced it's not going to suspend this star running back.
Pass.
Which Big Ten football team has the highest projected win total according to Las Vegas heading into the season?
Ohio State.
Which member of the U.S. women's national team drew criticism over a goal celebration in yesterday's win over England?
Megan Rapinoe.
Who will the U.S. women's national team play in the World Cup final on Sunday?
Sweden.
Which Chicago White Sox top pitching prospect made his Major League debut today?
Pass.
Which Minnesota Twins starting pitcher and former Cedar Rapids Colonel was recently added to the AL All-Star team today?
Pass.
What Big Ten team did we preview on our countdown to kickoff this afternoon?
Illinois.
That's an ofer.
Josh, you think you can get one?
Okay, Sean, hang tight. Hang tight, Sean, because you never know. We could wind up with a 0-0 tie here. So let's see what... Alex and Josh, the floor is yours.
Josh, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Where is the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest held each 4th of July?
Chicago.
Kawhi Leonard is reportedly down to 3 destinations. 2 are L.A. teams. Where is the other?
I'll be second on that. I know that. New York.
What year did Tyler Skaggs pitch for the Cedar Rapids Colonels?
2010.
Former NFL quarterback Jared Lorenzen passed away today. What SEC school did he play for?
Oh.
Megan Gustafson added this honor to her resume today.
MVP.
In what country is Iowa State's Tyrese Halliburton currently playing with Team USA?
Thing.
1-0. Congratulations. Josh, hang tight. Kyle's going to get you your gift card. Sean, I told you to hang in there. We could have had a tie, and we almost did. It's a pitcher's duel inside the 6 o'clock showdown tonight.
We came with some nasty stuff today, Todd.
$30 to Mulligan's on Old Marion Road. Josh, spend it wisely. The NFL announcing that it would not suspend Ezekiel Elliott for his May altercation in Las Vegas. The Big Ten football team with the highest projected win total according to Las Vegas going into the season, Michigan. It was Alex Morgan who had the tea-sipping, pinky-in-the-air goal celebration on what proved to be the game winner yesterday in the United States win over England. It was a good Sweden was a good guess. They were playing the Netherlands today, but the Netherlands wound up being victorious, so that will be the U.S. Women's National Team's opponent Sunday. Dylan Cease made his Major League Baseball debut today and got the win for the White Sox in Game 1 of that doubleheader. Jose Berríos added to the AL All-Star team today, and the Big Ten team we previewed on the countdown to kickoff, Minnesota.
The Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest is held each 4th of July on Coney Island in New York. Kawhi Leonard is reportedly down to 3 destinations. 2 are L.A. teams. The other, the team that he won an NBA championship with last year, the Toronto Raptors. Former NFL quarterback Jared Lorenzen, who passed away today, played in the SEC for the Kentucky Wildcats. Megan Gustafson was named the Big Ten Female Athlete of the Year today by the Big Ten office. Tyrese Halliburton is playing for Team USA. They're playing in Greece in the Under-19 tournament. And the question we didn't even get to, the team that we are previewing on Friday's countdown to kickoff, the Wisconsin Badgers.
That was one of the more white-knuckle 6 o'clock showdowns that we've had for a while. But $30 to Mulligan's, a worthy prize. And we'll be back at Mulligan's next Thursday for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. It is 6:39, a Wednesday edition of the program as we make our way towards 7 o'clock tonight. We mentioned Dylan Cease making his Major League Baseball debut earlier today. A rough first inning for the Chicago White Sox pitcher, but he was able to harness that nervous energy and pitched rather effectively before being lifted by Rick Renteria. White Sox, a 7-5 winner over the Tigers. Cubs and Pirates. Cubs are trying to get things turned around after a miserable night last night at PNC Park. You had the rain delay, and they fell behind early. They just were never in that ball game. You got your general manager, or your president of baseball operations, I should say, going on your flagship radio station in Chicago today, basically threatening a shakeup if things don't turn around. Jed Hoyer, the general manager of the team, has said pretty much the same thing. This is a group, by and large, that's been together for most of Joe Maddon's run. There are some new faces there, but the team hasn't really had a major shakeup since it won the World Series in 2016. They've had some new additions. One of those, Yu Darvish, currently pitching in the game tonight for Chicago, but Kyle Schwarber, Jason Hayward, Albert Elmora, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Addison Russell, Wilson Contreras, all members of that World Series winning team. Maybe you got to do something to get these guys' attention. I don't know what it is.
Well, I think that's what going on the radio and threatening to shake things up was an attempt to do. It's a preliminary attempt, and the hope is to say, to bring up a guy like Robel Garcia and say, nobody's job is safe. Here's proof. We're turning over every stone to see if we can bring in somebody to give this team a spark.
In the life comes at you fast department, your team wins the World Series in 2016, and 3 years later, you are excited about bringing a player to the major leagues who was playing in Italy for 3 or 4 seasons and has never been considered a prospect, and he strikes out a ton, but he also hits some home runs, and you're desperate for something to hang your hat on and celebrate. So Robel Garcia is perhaps a warning signal to that clubhouse, especially the two guys who are currently manning the keystone for the Cubs, and Addison Russell and Daniel Descalso, that if he comes up and hits the ball the way that he's been hitting it in AA and AAA this year, that one of you guys is going to be out of a job. Cole Hamels is on the injured list. Pitching continues to be a little bit of a concern for this team, and the All-Star break couldn't be coming at a better time, not just for the Cubs, but pretty much every team in that division, because the Brewers, even though they're in first place, they're not a perfect team. And Mark Saxon of The Athletic was with us earlier today detailing in very, very blunt language the state of things for the St. Louis Cardinals.
They're not good, but the point I'm going to make, is there going to be a point where the Cubs and the Cardinals stop taking each other's players? Because it doesn't seem to work out very well. At least it hasn't worked out very well.
Jason Hayward,
Dexter Fowler, Daniel Descalso. Guys who had a certain amount of success in one place, going to the arch rival, it's not working out very well.
You were called out a couple days ago on the text line by a Cubs fan that heard you say all winter long Cubs fans were going to love Daniel Descalso.
He was great in St. Louis. He was good in Arizona too. I don't know what's happened. He has not been good.
There was last year with Descalso in Arizona. There was a power surge, and people looked at that and thought that that breakout was real. That's what I don't get with him, because the balls are very clearly lively this year. I don't want to say they're juiced. I'll just say that the balls are lively in MLB this season. Everybody's hitting home runs, and Daniel Descalso is struggling to hit singles at this point. You know who is hitting home runs? Jorge Soler, doing so with the Kansas City Royals. I wonder if the Cubs didn't give up on him a little too soon. Brought back Wade Davis for a year and didn't really do much of anything with him in their bullpen, but that's because ever since 2016, this team has had its flaws, and it's on the front office. I still say you build statues of these guys. They won your first World Series in 108 years, but they're not infallible. They made mistakes, Theo Epstein did when he was in Boston, and I'm sure there are a couple moves he'd like to have back in Chicago, including maybe that Dylan Cease, Eloy Jimenez deal for Jose Quintana we touched on at the beginning of the show tonight. 319-366-1600. We've got to get caught up on some things here as we've fallen a little bit behind through the first 2 hours of the program. We'll take our final break of a Wednesday. When we return, we'll set the table for what you can expect when we return on Friday. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM after this.
Whether your project's below ground, above ground, or you're just breaking ground, United Rentals has the equipment and tools you need. We sell expertly maintained used equipment from forklifts and backhoes to scissor lifts and boom lifts. Visit us online to search our inventory of more than 4,000 equipment categories and get custom information on any unit. Visit unitedrentals.com/used today.
Stugatz here. We all have home projects we put off for too long. What's stopping you? For lots of people, they worry about overpaying and not getting a fair price. That's where Home Advisor can help. Their true cost guide shows you what others paid for similar projects. Then you can get matched with top-rated pros, read reviews, request quotes, and book appointments all for free. Home Advisor makes it easy to get those projects done so you can relax this summer. To find the right pro at a fair price, just ask Home Advisor. Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app.
At Fidelity, we believe nothing should come between you and your money. So we're introducing zero account fees with zero minimums to open an account. All because we want you to invest with zero trade-offs. Visit fidelity.com/value to learn more. Zero account minimums and zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Expenses charged by investments such as funds and managed accounts and for commissions, interest charges, or other expenses for transactions may still apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE, SIPC.
Hulu's paying Tobin Heath, Carly Lloyd, Mallory Pugh, and other U.S. soccer stars a lot of money to do a new goal celebration called Hulu Has Live Sports. Why? It's simple. Because Hulu has live sports. You can watch the biggest games and sporting events like the Women's World Cup this summer on 60-plus top channels. No cable required. Plus, you can stream the entire Hulu library. Start your free trial of Hulu today. Live TV plan required. Restrictions apply. Learn more at Hulu.com.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production. And it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Well, the Twins tangling with the A's on a Tuesday night at the Coliseum, and they raced out to a 3-0 lead behind a 2-run homer from Miguel Sano. But Matt Olson took Jake Odorizzi deep in the third to make it 3-2. And then, with Odorizzi battling a blister on his middle finger and Chris Herrmann playing his first game of the year for the Oakland Athletics, the Twins were burned by an old friend.
Cronin at third, and the pitch hit high in the air right center field. Kepler back. Buxton doesn't see it. Doesn't matter. It's gone. A grand slam for Chris Herrmann.
Herman, not the only former Twin to have a big night. Robbie Grossman knocked in a run and scored a run. Liam Hendricks ended up picking up a save. That offset the two-homer night for Jason Castro, and the A's take game one, 8-6 the final, from the Coliseum on your home for Twins baseball.
Golden Wingo on the road.
Live at the House of Blues Cleveland for the 2019 MLB All-Star Game.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance and Sherwin-Williams.
Monday, July 8th
on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Play
ball. And Joe Maddon has taken to quoting Winston Churchill, saying, "When you're going through hell, you just keep going." Are the Cubs going through hell right now? Their fans certainly are. 319-366-1600. Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, our final broadcast before the 4th of July. Make sure that you practice firework safety out there and have all 10 of your digits still with you when we return on Friday. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented on Fridays by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. Look forward to bringing you a Friday program, which will feature the countdown to kickoff, focusing on the Wisconsin Badgers. Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, will be with us as well during his weekly for his weekly segment, Touching All the Bases, and we'll preview a U.S. Women's National Team World Cup final against the Netherlands as well. All that and more to come as we return to the airwaves with Love It or Leave It as well on Friday. It's going to be a jam-packed show without our producer, Kyle Mann, who I believe will be, is he hiking something?
Yes.
Doing something.
He's going to the Smoky Mountains, correct? Kyle, you going to the Smoky Mountains doing some hiking?
No.
It's going to be warm down there.
No, they've taken everything else from us. They've taken everything else from us. Don't tell me that this is some sort of clandestine job interview to be the producer on WNML, the sports animal.
That's what this is.
In Knoxville. Watch out for the Bears. Watch out for the Bears. That was advice from Scott Unash prior to his departure. So join us again on Friday and fire up the grill tomorrow. Have some cold ones if you're able to, and enjoy what used to be one of my favorite holidays, the 4th of July.
Used to be?
I always liked the 4th of July.
Me too. I'm a little bummed that this year not going to be able to enjoy all the festivities on the 4th of July, but still, hopefully all of you are able to do so in place of me.
You will be at the 4th Fest Parade in Coralville tomorrow, driving the KGYM pickup truck. So for any of our South Gym listeners, 106.3 FM, look for the KGYM pickup truck and make sure that you give Alex the proper salute, not the middle finger salute. Although he'd acknowledge you. He's a nice enough guy. He would acknowledge anybody, even the haters, of which I'm told there are many.
That's what I'm told.
And somebody on the text line said yesterday this parade does allow for the throwing of candy.
Awesome. I'm going to be throwing out candy, though.
Even though I'm driving. The text line is like the internet. You cannot always believe everything that is on the text line, but we do appreciate everybody who heard our discussion of the parade yesterday, and of course, brings back many memories for me of running out in front of horses, convertibles, tractors, grabbing all those pieces of candy that didn't quite get tossed all the way to the curb. Back in that, you got fireworks. There's going to be plenty of fireworks shows here across eastern Iowa. Do keep in mind that not everybody enjoys fireworks. I know there are some veterans who have issues with fireworks because of PTSD, and animals, including dogs, not huge fans of fireworks as well. So not everybody enjoys the 4th of July. 319-366-1600. As we wind down the last of our local program for 48 hours, 36 hours or so before the gym class hits the airwaves again at 3 on Friday.
Since we're not going to be on the air tomorrow, we have to give you a little bit of breaking news. The Iowa football program has received their 21st commitment for the class of 2020. Deontay Vines, a wide receiver out of Watertown, Connecticut, has committed to the Iowa Hawkeyes over offers from Boston College, Syracuse, and Army.
News you would have heard tomorrow on a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber, except we're not on the air tomorrow. So the Hawkeyes rounding out. That's got to be almost it.
You'd think.
Just
maybe
about
a few
capacity
more
for the class of 2020, but Kirk Ferentz and his staff still out there looking under every rock for recruits that will help the Hawkeyes continue to have success on the gridiron. That is going to just about do it for us. Don't forget, you can still head over to KGYMradio.com and vote in today's poll question. Where will Kawhi Leonard wind up signing? The Lakers, Clippers, and Raptors are your three choices because they are the three most obvious choices. Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot, sponsors the poll question at KGYMradio.com every day. Speaking of that website, you can also listen to our podcasts there. If you've missed anything throughout the week, you want to get caught up on the previous Countdown to Kickoff segments, whatever, they're available for you, KGYMradio.com. As we mentioned, Cubs and Pirates later on tonight. You can hear the Cubs and Pirates tomorrow. One of three games we'll be bringing your way as part of ESPN Radio's baseball triple header on the 4th of July. Happy birthday, America. Celebrate safe and responsibly. Don't make any mistakes. And we want you back here with us on Friday. Thanks for listening.